using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Tuesday, the 24th of August, year of our Lord 2021, day 528 of America Held Hostage. And now, of course, we can see what they've been holding us hostage for. As I said from the very beginning, and there was no question about it, this goes back to 9/11, dark winter, 20 years of simulation, lock everyone down with as draconian a measures as you can until you get an untested vaccine, and then you mandate it. That's where we are today. We're going to take a look at the FDA approval. We're going to take a look at the surge in mandates, consequences we may face. And, of course, we're going to look at the GOP reaction, which I can sum up in one word. Crickets. Yes, I guess maybe many of you who've been... And not you, not these listeners here. But when I was in InfoWars, I kept getting people telling me, oh, no, it's not Trump. It's not the Republicans. They're on our side. They don't want to do this to us. Well, you keep telling yourself that. Of course, what is really astounding to these people, if they're still paying attention, is the fact that these GOP pharma shills are not saying anything, or they are. They're cheering this on. I'm going to show you what is happening. I'm going to show you the mandates coming from the GOP governors. I'm going to show you the GOP congressmen cheering this on. The other organizations are like the Chamber of Commerce, always pushing the big global agenda. But first, it broke yesterday during the program. First thing Monday morning, they had planned to do this for quite some time. Initially, they were planning on doing this, they say, by Labor Day. But they kept getting a lot more pressure from Biden, and so they bowed to that pressure just as they bowed to the pressure from Trump to skip all testing. So we're going to take a look at this. We're going to take a look at what has actually been discovered. You know, do we know something about this? They keep telling us, you know, we've given this to a lot of people, and they haven't died yet. So we're going to talk about that. What is the long-term health risks? We've got another scientist, another medical professional who has put his entire career and life on the line to tell people the truth. An amazing clip coming up. The FDA, and this happened just yesterday. The FDA, of course, yesterday granted full approval and opening up the path to vaccine mandates. As a matter of fact, Fauci was very excited about this. He was saying it was going to be a surge of mandates, because this is a political pandemic. It is a psychological pandemic. The FDA said that they had evaluated hundreds of thousands of pages from vaccine data from 40,000 trial participants. What a load of lies this is. And we'll talk about this a little bit more in detail. But the bottom line is that you know, of course, that, first of all, just from common sense, you would know that even if they had multiplied this out to a bigger study than they typically do, and of course this is a bigger study because this is phase three right now, Israel jumped to the front of the line for Pfizer because they were betting on Moderna. They thought Moderna would get there first because Moderna had been working on mRNA products, vaccines, as well as therapeutics for a decade. They'd never produced anything. No other pharmaceutical company wanted to come near this stuff. So Israel was betting on Moderna. Then when Pfizer beat them to it, they offered their entire country as sacrificial lambs for this experiment, said, we'll give you 2 years of data, which is what would have happened with a typical phase three study. again, not sufficient, as many, many scientists were saying before all this stuff happened. They said 2 years is not long enough. We need to make this longer to find out what the long-term effects are. So let me ask you, just from a simple logic standpoint, if you have something that you're concerned about the long-term effects, does multiplying this out to the number of people and doing it for a shorter period of time, does that tell you anything about long-term effects? Well, of course not. If you want to know the long-term effects, the only thing that's going to tell you that is time and observation. It's not going to be adding more people to the test. I've talked about this before. It's like the mythical man month that you'd used to see in programming. Oh, well, you know, we got this task, and it's pretty big, so let's just multiply the number of programmers we got on it. Well, first of all, that doesn't work because it creates more confusion in many cases. It actually makes it take longer. But if you're just talking about a long-term test, you got to have a long-term or it isn't a long-term test. It's just that simple. This is just simple logic and critical thinking. These people are gaslighting you, telling you, well, instead of doing a long-term test, we got our long-term test data from multiplying this out to millions of people instead of tens of thousands. But then the other part of the problem is that it's not even that. They didn't even test this for a couple of months. What happened was they got rid of their control group. After a couple of months of looking at this data, they told the control group that got a placebo. They said, you know, this is so dangerous. We're just going to offer you the real thing. You want to take the real thing? Oh, yeah. So then they've destroyed their long-term data completely now. And then it got worse. One of these companies, and I forget which one it was, instead of using a placebo that was a saline solution, they gave people in the control group a meningitis vaccine. So you would expect that the incidences of Guillain-Barré and a lot of other things that typically show up with vaccines would be washed out, wouldn't it? They have played so many tricks on people. It is absolutely amazing. The FDA says in their statement that Pfizer's vaccine met the agency's, quote, high standards for safety, effectiveness, and manufacturing quality. They said that with a straight face. FDA Commissioner Janet Woodcock in a statement. Let's talk about their high standards of safety and effectiveness. I mean, we've just seen that illustrated, as I pointed out yet again yesterday. I pointed it out. I'll continue to point out the fact that this absurdly expensive Alzheimer's drug that they want to give everybody as a preventative as well as a therapeutic, costing $50,000 a year, would bankrupt our entire medical system with the demographics that we currently have. It was dangerous and ineffective, and the scientific FDA's own scientific committee voted 10 against, one abstention. First time that you've ever had a drug where no one said it was effective in the scientific committee, and the FDA said, no, we're going to go with it anyway. And three of the people resigned in disgust. That's the integrity of the FDA. That's the, quote, high standards for safety, effectiveness, and quality that the FDA stands for today. That's the FDA today. You're going to see the empowerment of local enterprises, said Fauci, giving mandates that could be colleges, universities, places of businesses, a whole variety, and I strongly support that, said Fauci back in August the 8th. You're going to see empowerment of mandates, because that's what this guy is about. Earlier this morning, as I was just reading this quote and reading other stuff that Fauci's done, I tweeted out, I said, you know, William Wilberforce, the British politician in the 19th century, spent his entire life to stopping the slave trade. And then shortly before he died, they ended slavery in the British Empire. So he stopped the slave trade, then he stopped slavery in his life. He spent his entire life doing that. And he had to fight the biggest moneyed interests and the biggest corporations and this interlocking of corporations and their greed and government wanting power. He had to fight all of that. He took that all on and fought it for decades. And he did it to end slavery. Fauci, on the other hand, has spent his entire career to empower big corporations and to empower big government mandating you to buy the corporation's products, holding them harmless. And so I said, Fauci, on the other hand, has spent his entire life doing just the opposite, working to enslave us, to these giant corporations, and to enslave us to government. And Trump helped. Never forget, Trump helped. So Fauci said, it's going to be the empowerment of mandates everywhere, and this is the plan from the very beginning. I've told you this over and over again. New England Journal of Medicine said, even before Trump did, they said, we're going to run these mandates through corporations. It's going to be corporate coercion for the most part. Yes, the military is being mandated it directly. The government is doing it to its employees directly. But there's going to be a lot of corporate coercion. And of course, when you look at what is happening in some of these, we're going to get the details of these mandates as they're being pushed out. In Massachusetts, the governor bragged that government, the state government, was the largest employer in the state. And he was going to mandate it for everybody to work for the Massachusetts government. And when I looked at that, I thought, well, there you go. That's the problem right there. The vast majority of people work for the government. And when that happens, and when you add the people who are already dependent on the government, you're probably well over 50% in Massachusetts. That's what they want with universal basic income. What it is universal dependency. Instead of UBI, we ought to call it UD. Universal dependency. UD. We'd lose our freedom. So as Fauci said, you're going to see the empowerment of mandates. The time has come. We've got to go the extra step. This is not an extra step. This is the plan to get you here. To get you to the mark of the beast. Now, somebody sent me a letter. They said, Chuck Baldwin just did a sermon where he read Revelation 13 with the mark of the beast, and he just substituted for the mark of the beast the COVID vaccine. That's basically, if you look at it, you're going to buy, sell, do anything. No, you're going to set this up. So this isn't the mark of the beast. It is a mark of the beast, and it is preparation for the mark of the beast. If it isn't the mark of the beast. And it's one of the reasons why I've said you do not want to give government that kind of power. Never. I've said, and I'll say it again, even if I believed that these vaccines were safe and effective, and I certainly don't, even if I believed that, I would refuse to take this because of the precedent that it is setting. And so we've had a lot of people who've been vaccinated because they believed that it was safe and effective. But when they saw this vaccine passport stuff, they're burning their vaccine cards. At least one individual, I should say. I don't know a lot of people are doing that, but at least one individual did that in the UK. Former Health Secretary Alex Azar, who was put in by big pharmaceutical companies for President Trump. Remember, it was JFK that he met with. JFK, the vaccine skeptic, concerned about the liability protections that they have, concerned about the uptake in autism that corresponded to the massive vaccine programs that we've had. Met with President Trump. President Trump had talked about being a vaccine skeptic, and then shortly after that, there was a lot of pushback from big pharmaceutical companies. Shortly after that, said RFK Jr., there was a contribution to the Trump campaign from big pharmaceuticals. And he had Alex Azar, CEO of Eli Lilly, one of the best connected politically pharmaceutical companies, becomes HHS secretary. And it was Alex Azar. I've talked many times about Trump's executive order 528 days ago. I've been keeping a long-running daily total of this. It goes back to March the 13th. But before March the 13th, and again, I say that executive order declaring a national state of emergency was primarily about financial incentivization, not so much the legal stuff. The legal stuff that the states needed, remember after you had the dark winter simulation 2 months before 9/11, Then the week after 9/11, you had the anthrax false flag attack by the CIA. And then, well documented, I've talked to the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Truth, even the mainstream media says, you know, that anthrax that we were told came from Iraq, it only comes from two labs. There's only three labs that are working on this stuff, and only two of them have it in the particular format, very highly specialized, weaponized powder format, and those are controlled by the CIA. And so then what did the FBI investigate? They investigated the third lab, which is the one that it couldn't have come from. Even the New York Times and Washington Post pointed that out. And you had the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Truth. I've had them on. We talked about it a great deal. I've replayed that in some of our rebroadcasts because they went back and interviewed a lot of the people who are still alive about that case. So that was a lie. It was a false flag attack. And then 2 months later, we have the Model State Health Emergency Powers Act. Now, that Model State Health Emergency Powers Act would be triggered by Alex Czar, the former HHS secretary, who issued a public health emergency on January the 31st, 2020. So Trump's executive order did a little bit of that, but primarily his executive order was about releasing money to these governors, many of them getting multiples of the entire state budget for their own personal discretionary spending. He made a lot of little kings, and you had a lot of little kings like Brad Little in Idaho, who got that magic ring that Boromir wanted so badly. And if they weren't already corrupt, all they needed was to have a state budget that was many times bigger, or a amount of money given to them, amount of Federal Reserve paper money given to them by President Trump, several times the entire state budget. The vaccines will still have to be administered under the supervision of a professional who is qualified, says the former FDA commissioner, Dr. Robert Califf. Yeah, you notice that? Yeah, roll up your sleeve here. We got people on the parking lot at Walmart, CVS. Yeah, go get your vaccine administered under the supervision of a professional. It reminds me of a time my family and I went to Wendy's, and the lady taking our order was so formal, and she said, before we ordered anything, she said, will you be eating here or in our dining room? And our and it wasn't just the but both the way she said it, Karen and I kind of stopped and looked at each other, and we looked around. It's like, have they added a dining room to this place? Yeah, you want to get it from a medical professional at Walmart and CVS. Roll up your sleeve. Companies have already raised the price of their vaccines in the European Union, according to the Financial Times. When this was first being passed around, I've talked about this many times, in some third world countries, it was $10 to $12. In the EU, it was just under $15. It was $14.50. We, on the other hand, because we've got a shrewd negotiator working for us at the time, Donald Trump, he's always about the art of the deal. The art of the steal. Trump negotiated the best price of anybody, if you're looking at it from the perspective of the pharmaceutical corporation. He negotiated the price of 1950, so other countries are paying half of that. The European Union is paying $15, and we paid $20. Now, the European Union has had the price raised to $18.50. And they're going to be raising it to $23 per dose. But see, it's free. It's free, right? Yeah, it's print up some more of that paper money. Right. Pfizer's two-dose vaccine nears full approval by the FDA. This is an article from the Chicago Tribune a couple of weeks ago. And did you notice what I said about the two-dose vaccine nears full approval? What was it that they approved yesterday? The two-dose vaccine. Except, as I also tweeted out this morning, I said, I'm confused. They approved the two doses. But they've already said the two doses aren't effective. So you need to have a third dose. We'll call that a booster. How can that be? How can we approve an ineffective vaccine? Because they say that they're going to work really hard to accelerate the approval of the booster, but it's going to be a couple more weeks now. I don't know. You know, they got to write the stuff up. That's all they got to do. There's not any testing that's going to be done. They just have to get the bureaucrats busy and do this. So I said, but the booster shots aren't approved. So are you confused? Don't be confused. Because it's all just about politics and about dictates for controlling you. Regulators, they said a couple of weeks ago, regulators are working to finish the process by Friday. I'm sorry, this is last week, not a couple of weeks ago. So they're saying they're working to get it done by Friday, but they're still working through a substantial amount of paperwork. See, it isn't about doing any science. It's just about getting all the paperwork signed and stamped and by the appropriate people and getting this stuff out. There isn't any science or medicine being done here. It's strictly politics. The agency had recently set an unofficial deadline for approval of around Labor Day. Now, I didn't know that, but I told you when this edict came out from dictator Biden that they were going to give it to the military September 15th or whenever it was approved by the FDA, if it happened sooner, whichever one was sooner. And I said, well, you know that they're putting all kinds of political pressure on the FDA. You know that they're going to bow to that, just as they bowed to Trump's political pressure for the EUA, Emergency Use Authorization. Once it is approved, they said last week, this is the Chicago Tribune, Pfizer is planning to quickly ask the FDA to approve a third dose as a booster shot. And they expect to have that done within the next month. So it's total nonsense. The FDA has fully approved Pfizer's coronavirus vaccine, says Breitbart. Well, that's not true. I just told you. It's not fully effective. It needs a third shot, they're saying, to make it work. But they're going to go with it. They're going to continue to go with this. As a matter of fact, while we're talking about boosters, let's listen to what Bill Maher had to say, because he's not so slow on the uptake as most conservatives and liberals are. He realizes that, wait a minute, I'm going to have to put this crap in my arm every couple of months.
You know, because like now they want us to do all these boosters we were talking about with Andrew. I mean, I don't want a booster. Look, I never wanted the vaccine. I took one for the team. But every 8 months you're going to put this shit in me? I don't know about that. Maybe I don't need one. I don't want a one size fits all. My body may be different than your body.
Yeah, I lost you, man. That's crazy. And look,
my body isn't different. Everybody's body isn't somewhat different. I just read the statistics about who dies from this.
You're trying to be cute and you're rolling
the
dice.
I'm not trying to be cute.
No, I know I'm in your house. I don't want to step over the line here, but genuinely.
Pause that a second, Travis.
People's lives are on the line.
All right. So this guy's going to take issue with this, right? Everybody's body's different. I know that I'm in your house here, you know, and I don't want to slap you down too much, but let me just tell you, this is for the community. Now this guy's going to go full communist on health. And let me tell you, you don't want communist health care. You do not want it. Communist health care, and you're going to hear this guy do this, denies the individual's uniqueness. And, of course, when it comes to health and when it comes to the condition of our health and our susceptibility to different things, it is common sense that we're all different. That's why we have informed consent. That's why we have doctors. And so this guy is now going to tell you that we don't need to have doctors. We don't need to have anybody even have an exam. It's just a one-size-fits-all. Bill Maher got it. It is a one-size-fits-all healthcare system, which is going to work about as well as our one-size-fits-all education system. Continue, Travis.
Exactly. Just as significantly, our very way of life is on the line here. It's
right.
Very important that people get vaccinated. It's
right.
Very important that we express trust in our institutions.
Yeah, our way of life is on the line.
Absolutely. But if there's a
our
need
liberty,
for boosters, particularly, absolutely, as the evidence is showing amongst those who have underlying conditions, amongst the elderly, so on and so forth, It's important that they take them, and it's important that they trust those who are urging them to
okay.
do it.
Okay, but you just said underlying conditions and elderly. Mm-hmm. I don't count myself either. So is my body different?
See, they're different. They're
can
different.
I make? Could I have some medical autonomy?
No. Look, nope. you absolutely.
No, he says no.
No one is mandating it for you in your particular position, although they might. But I do think
that although
it's very
they might,
dangerous
they're gonna mandate
to enter
it for
into
you.
A conversation here about personal responsibility. When the truth of the matter is that this is a matter of collective responsibility. If large groups of people do not
pause
get vaccinated,
this a second.
They go to the hospital. And
there is no such thing as collective responsibility. Responsible to who? Who am I responsible to? Am I responsible to this bald-headed fascist communist? Am I responsible to him? Am I responsible to Fauci? Do I answer to them? These people are responsible to us. They're responsible to the Constitution. They don't have the authority to do this. It is immoral to do this. And it is also not pragmatic. Continue, Travis.
Hospitals get overrun.
That's why
and
I
then
use...
you can't get a mammogram. You can't get a biopsy and so many other things. Literally, society as we know it can't function.
It didn't get overrun.
This is
You're
important.
Kicking nurses out who don't want to take
are
this.
People are urged to get vaccinated. It's important that they do get vaccinated.
That's why I use...
But the audience agrees with a bald-headed fascist. You hear that?
That's why I said the team.
Well, we're proud to have you.
Because I
team.
Did it for the team.
When you I'm curious.
And then I got it.
I'm refusing it for the team. I'm refusing it for humanity.
You talk about the military, before we had a vaccine, it went through a whole ship, the USS Theodore Roosevelt,
sure.
4,000 sailors. I don't think they all got it, but about half the ship got it.
Absolutely.
There was one death.
Yep.
Now, right. One is too many.
Take a look at the cruise ship, Diamond Princess.
Healthy,
even better case.
Millennial people, they didn't die from it.
Yeah.
Everybody should get the vaccine. We're not arguing with that.
Absolutely.
But nuance is important, even when we're talking about
pandemics. It has unnecessarily become taboo to agree with what you just said. And that's wrong. That's totally wrong.
All right. Time for new rules.
Time for new rules. That's right. That's what it is. It's new rules. Going to reset society. You like this new society? No. Breitbart didn't have a problem with this, and I have a problem with that. See, Breitbart goes through and talks about what the FDA wants. They talk about what the Pfizer CEO, Albert Bourla, wants. He says, we've done longer-term follow-up data that we submitted today. You haven't done that. You haven't done that. As a matter of fact, they haven't, if they destroyed their control group, maybe you ought to look at those of us who are unvaccinated. Matter of fact, I had somebody send me, I've got to get those some great bumper stickers about some things that I'd said. I really appreciate that. I want to show that to all of you. I'm part of the control group. So are you if you haven't taken it. But they don't want to pay any attention to that. They don't want to have a control group. They got rid of their control group in the actual study after just a couple of weeks. So anyway, the CEO of Pfizer said, I'm hopeful this approval will help to increase confidence in our vaccine. And vaccination remains the best tool we have to, I don't know.
Show me the money! Show me the money!
He says, yeah, to help protect lives and to achieve herd immunity. No, I think I heard it's about the money. I think I heard about that. We have Alex Berenson, who used to be a science reporter for the New York Times. Unfortunately, he reported on science. They got rid of him. Kind of like I reported on elections and the pandemic, and they got rid of me. The New York Times got rid of Alex Berenson. He says, FDA, before you approve the Pfizer vaccine today, I have a simple question. How many doses is in the regimen? 2, 3, or to be determined? He says, how do you approve a vaccine which, by its very nature, is supposed to have a fixed dosage if you can't even answer that question? See, the whole thing is just nonsense. The very fact that they admit they got to get the booster, that these two doses don't work, that was what was approved. Now, on the basis of that formality, on the basis of that bureaucratic rubber stamping, they're going to be mandating it for people in the military, people who are working for state governments, people who are teachers, and they're going to be mandating it for the kids as well. So As Chris Minahan points out, he focuses on the control group. FDA approves Pfizer's mRNA jab despite the control group being compromised. He goes back to President Trump. He says, remember this? His CPAC speech, February this year, 2021, where Trump bragged and he said, I pushed the FDA like they've never been pushed before. They told me that loud and clear, they've never been pushed like I pushed them. I didn't like them at all, but once we got it done, I said, I now love you very much. What the Trump administration has done with the vaccines has, in many respects, perhaps saved lives, saved a large portion of the world. Yeah, these are the Trump shots that went around the world. Not only our country, but large portions of the world should be looking for this guy as a war criminal to arrest him. This is a worldwide thing. People in Australia ought to be out to arrest Trump and Fauci. Not only did we push the FDA far beyond what the bureaucrats wanted to do, we also put up billions and billions of dollars, $10 billion, to produce the vaccines before we knew they were going to work.
They have to get the shot. The vaccinations are so important. This is really going around now.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, that was just for measles, like I said. No, it's more than $10 billion. It was $20 billion initially, and they put a lot more into that pot. And then this lying shill, Trump, QAnon, came out and said, they want the boosters, don't they? They want to make a lot of money. I don't know. Sounds like a pretty good business plan. Going to make a lot of money off of that. Well, you would know, wouldn't you? After shoveling trainloads full of money into these pharmaceutical companies, QAnon. Pfizer claimed back in December that their shots were around 95% effective, writes Chris Minahan at Information Liberation. But now they're saying 39%. Oh, but wait, when I put that up, I get people saying, but it's the Delta that they can't handle right now, right? It's the Delta. Guess what? You aren't legally allowed to know which variant gave you COVID in the U.S., even if it is Delta, says Business Insider. Because, you see, it's a national security secret. This whole thing is being rolled out to us by the military-industrial complex and the surveillance and police state. No wonder that they're doing it right away to the military. It is a national security secret. Who has and who does not have Delta? But it's even worse than that. Business Insider says, well, you're not allowed to know. And that's because the sequencing tests have to be federally approved for the results to be disclosed to a doctor or a patient. And most of them aren't federally approved. Lab scientists say the process of validating the tests for approval is too costly. And it's too time-consuming. Wait a minute. Haven't we done this whole thing before? I'm just getting a terrible feeling of deja vu. Or I should say deja flu. Because I've seen this scam being run on an annual basis, and I would talk about it in conjunction with vaccines because Fauci and the CDC and Big Pharma were scaring people with flu numbers at the same time they were telling people, we showed the documents, don't send us those tests. We don't have the capability of evaluating. You know, you take that swab, don't send that to us. Those things are kind of messy. And, we don't have the capability to test them in that kind of number anyway here. So just do a clinical diagnosis. Also, we had deja flu when this whole thing began. You had the CDC telling hospitals, don't bother with the PCR tests. We don't have enough of them, and they don't work that well to start with. And then, as I pointed out last August, you had the American Hospital Association, in a aha moment, said, wait a minute, you're not paying us now if we don't have a PCR test, but you told us at the beginning of this that you didn't have enough of these things and they didn't work, and you're supposed to give us our 20-25% bonus, and now you don't want to pay that bonus? That is when they exposed what was going on. I thought that would be picked up by a lot of people. They didn't want to talk about that, even at InfoWars. Because if you start talking about that, if you talk about how they financially incentivize not just the $13,000 if you identify somebody, I've got a hunch. I can look at you and I can tell. You don't have the flu. You don't have RSV. You don't have a cold. You've got the novel COVID. Or this year, I can look at you and I can tell that it's not any of those, not even the novel COVID. You've now got Delta variant or Lambda variant or Epsilon variant or whatever the variant. I can just look at you and tell because that's what's happening right now. If you were to talk about that a year ago, if you were to say, well, the hospitals are being financially incentivized to do that, it kind of begs the question, who was giving them the money? Who was giving them the money?
Show me the money!
That's right. And if we were to look at that at InfoWars, we would find out that the person showing them the money was Donald Trump. Donald Trump didn't have anything to do with any of this, don't you realize? You know, this is just 4D chess. He didn't have anything to do with this. So they go on to say, the health department, as one person went there, he said, a musician from San Francisco, got a call from the health department, though fully vaccinated. He had recently tested positive after they just gave him a test. He wasn't symptomatic. But he was teaching music at a summer camp, and so the health department asked him to come in and take another test. He assumed it was because authorities wanted to find out whether he had a Delta infection. He was curious, too. But when he got the test results back, he was surprised to learn that doctors couldn't give him any information about his variant. What? I mean, we're told, this is all over the news, right? We're told that these plummeting efficacy numbers, it's because of the Delta variant. But they can't tell you because they don't have a test, because their tests don't work, because they're not even running the tests. The CDC, which oversees the regulatory process for the U.S. labs, and I talked about this over and over and over again 600 days ago. I said, they're saying that people have got this, but they can't be testing this stuff. They don't have enough tests. There's absolutely no way that they can tell you that these people have got COVID. And I'm telling you now, there's no way they can tell you they got the Delta variant or the Lambda variant. It requires genome sequencing. And those genome sequencing tests have to be federally approved before the results can be disclosed. But media knows that it's true. The New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, Fox News, they all know it's a Delta variant, don't they? Except they don't. They're making this stuff up. They're fabricating this. You're being gaslighted. These are the tests that pick up on the variants. But right now, says Business Insider, there's little incentive for the labs to do the work to validate those tests. They talked to Kelly Robluski, director of infectious diseases at the Association of Public Health Laboratories. She told the Insider, quote, I don't think there's a lot of motivation, quite honestly, to get that done. Why? They don't need to. They've got the PR firm. All they could do is just expose the fact that there is no Delta variant that we're worried about, that this is just a vaccine failure. Some patients, however, feel they're being denied access to their own health information. If it's a Delta infection, for instance, they may want to notify a much wider circle of family and friends. But other patients, like Ryan Forrest, a 30-year-old in New Jersey, are simply curious to find out how they were infected. Or it may be, they didn't say this in Business Insider, but I'll tell you what the real motivation is. People want the pride of being able to get on social media, on Twitter, and brag that they just fought off Delta. Or, oh, look at this, I've got Delta. Oh, you've got Delta? Oh, my. Same way they brag about their vaccines. It would have been nice to know, just for curiosity, more than anything else, he said. But, of course, see, you don't have any medical rights. You don't have any right to be informed because you don't have informed consent. Why should they inform you of anything? Because they don't care about your consent. They certainly don't want you informed as to what's going on here. But, oh, by the way, they don't have a test. And they're not... They're not even trying to get a test. They're just telling everybody it's the Delta. The process of validating a next-generation sequencing test is burdensome, said Robluski, who, again, is with the Association of Public Health Laboratories. She's the director of it. Not with it. She's the director of it. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of data. It takes a lot of resources. Money. And the thing about the variants is that variants of concern and interest are changing all the time. Alternately, laboratories can validate their sequencing tests in-house. Oh, now we really are back to deja flu, aren't we? They can do it in-house. In other words, they can do a clinical diagnosis. I can look at you and I can tell. Is it Delta or is it it's Epsilon. I think it's Lambda. That's it, Lambda. Call CNN, tell them we got another Lambda case here. Because just like Ghostbusters, they're ready to believe you. We got one. Variant busters. The entire premise of Pfizer's vaccine being 95% effective has now been completely trashed, says Chris Menahan at Information Liberation. He says, and yet we've seen no change in policy, and our public health officials are instead just doubling down. Was the head of the FDA threatened again this time, like Trump threatened them and bragged about it at CPAC this February? And we all knew that it happened. You know, it was, I remember when it happened, and you had all these people with the FDA, and they were contacting mainstream media that didn't like Trump. New York Times and Washington Post are saying he's really pushing them to get this thing approved. He's threatening to fire these people. You had people, anonymous sources within the Trump administration, say that President Trump called them up and said, you either approve that today or you're fired. And I remember reporting that, and I remember InfoWars and Alex coming back and say, you can't believe that. That's just Washington Post. They just don't like Trump. He's not twisting their arms. And then, not even 6 months later, he's bragging about doing exactly that at CPAC. I knew he was doing it. It's exactly the type of thing that that thug would do, that mafia thug. He's a mafia man. He's a Mossad man. He's a made man. He is a globalist insider telling you that he's about America first. He threatened the FDA, and they're being threatened again. And you don't have to threaten them too much because they're more than willing to bend over for big pharmaceutical companies and for the government and do anything that they want. So what went on behind the scenes? Well, you know, we have Scott Gottlieb, who joined Pfizer after he did his little bit of service at in the government, at the FDA, to help them. Then he passed on to his great reward. to be on the board of directors of Pfizer. And I just have to say, when I say that, these godless people who are pushing out this toxic bioweapon for money, they will go on to be judged. There may not be any justice in this life for these people, for Fauci, for Gottlieb, for Alex Azar, for Trump, for Biden. There may not be any justice for them in this life, but we know that God is just. And I don't see any repentance from these people. Do you? And so he tweeted out yesterday, and I saw this and retweeted it. Scott Gottlieb, again, Trump's FDA guy who pushed the stuff. And remember, it was Gottlieb, I think it was when he was still in there at the FDA, was pushing to get rid of vaping and all kinds of really important things that he was doing there. Scott Gottlieb said, congratulations to my Pfizer colleagues for their ingenuity and hard work through trying times. Oh, I hope you got some trying time. I hope you got a trial coming up at some point in time, Gottlieb, Pfizer. Anyway, through trying times and deep appreciation to the thousands of patients who volunteered for trials. That's millions, millions of people, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people have volunteered for this, who helped achieve one of the largest, most urgent, and successful public health endeavors in modern times. And so I retweeted that with a comment. I said, colleagues, indeed. This is not an adversarial regulatory relationship here. These people are cronies. I said, Gottlieb, Trump's FDA, is now sitting on the board of Pfizer. He is Exhibit A in crony capitalist corruption and regulatory capture and the revolving doors between government and big business, in this particular case, Big Pharma. I said Exhibit B is Alex Azar, Trump's HHS former CEO of Eli Lilly. And Exhibit C is Trump himself. They got to get the shots. Children's Health Defense Fund, that's RFK Jr.'s organization, calls the FDA's vaccine approval premature, arbitrary, and capricious. Mary Holland, president of CHD, Children's Health Defense, said, quote, with over 13,000 reported deaths from COVID shots, we are deeply concerned about the impact on health, both short and long term. We intend to challenge the approval and the licensure. We do not believe that this approval will significantly affect the trajectory of the pandemic, as we know that these shots are less than 50% effective against the variant in circulation now. And they try to play nice. I mean, you hear in that statement, they pretend that there's a pandemic. They pretend that there's a variant that they know about, right? No, these vaccines, all of that is nonsense. But again, it's important to play along with that. Yesterday, something was trending that I thought was kind of interesting. When I went to Twitter to post some clips from the show, I saw that VAERS was trending. That's a vaccine adverse effects reporting system created by the CDC. And so, wow, that's interesting. So I looked at some of the tweets, and most of it was the establishment or bots who were pushing back and saying, yeah, now that they've approved the FDA, you're going to have all these anti-vaxxers out there pointing to the VAERS system. Well, here's a good example. And they showed a screen clip, which, if it was true, is kind of interesting and insightful. It showed a VAERS case, and somebody had written there, after I got the vaccine, says, side effects, says, I was abducted by aliens. You see, what that guy was doing was the same thing that the person who put that report on VAERS was doing. And they're trying to discredit it by putting garbage in there and then pointing to their own garbage. The reality is, and I've given you many, many specific cases, we can back them up with cases that we have seen reported by some local press, not reported by CNN or Fox News or mainstream media. But we know that a lot of people have been harmed by this. We know that some people are putting in garbage like that. And it's the same tactic that you've seen the CIA do, same tactic that you've seen Alex do at InfoWars. You take something that's true, you add some absurd detail like, yeah, the after effect that I had or the vaccine was I was abducted by aliens. You put that kind of stuff in there, like Steve Pachinik did. And what it does is it discredits the truth. It shuts down the investigation. That's one of the oldest tricks of intelligence communities and disinfo agents ever. And, of course, now the CIA is not disinfo. The CIA is making the pronouncements on CNN. It literally is a CIA news network. And now these people who have made a science out of disinformation are calling anybody who disagrees with their absurd narrative disinformation agents. You see how they flipped everything upside down on us? And so when you look at this and you look at the fact that there are, as they point out, 595,622 adverse events reported, 13,068 deaths. Now, let me say that even with the trolls putting some stuff in there, as Children's Health Defense points out, this is more than the entire 30-year history of the federal reporting system in just this one event, and we're not even a year into this. And they also point out, so think about this, you've got 13,068 deaths reported. Do you realize in 1976 when we had the swine flu vaccine that was rushed out, people started getting Guillain-Barré and other issues? You also had 50 people who died from that. You had 50 people who died in 1976, and they stopped the vaccinations on the basis of 50 people dying. Do you think that with 13,068 people reported, I've reported about more than 50 verified deaths myself. This isn't even close. So you tell that to the Twitter trolls, if you see them, or the Facebook trolls. Of course, you can't have a discussion about any of this stuff on Facebook. That's why I'm not even on Facebook. I'll never get on Facebook again. I always hated it. I despise Zuckerberg. I despise that platform. I don't even like the way the thing is organized. So I'll never be on Facebook. Liberty Counsel says the FDA approval does not mean the Pfizer shots are safe. And I talked about this yesterday. It's this binary thinking. It's the fact it's either 100% safe or it's not safe at all, depending on if the FDA rubber stamps it. We're not going to get a risk. We're not going to say, well, you know, I think it's not on a sliding scale. It's either 100% safe or not safe at all, because the FDA says that. And I've talked about how, mentioned it yesterday, friend of our families. Yeah, the FDA said it was safe. Then people died. They said it was not safe for the drug. Then they got pressure again from pharmaceutical companies. They made it safe again by pronouncing it safe. Then the friend of our family's wife got that now pronounced safe drug from the FDA, that FDA-approved drug, and died. And then they went back and they saw the history of this, and they saw the corruption of this. Man, that was about 35 years ago. So I haven't had a great deal of respect for the FDA since then. And when you find a friend or a family member that has died because the FDA rolled over for a big corporation and their desire, their greed, you won't have any more confidence in them either. Alex Berenson also said the pivotal clinical trial for the Pfizer vaccine shows that it does nothing to reduce the overall risk of death. Zero. Why would he say this? This is also in the article on Information Liberation. He says this because they stopped the trial. They told the control group, we're going to stop this and you can all have this now. Why did they do that? Because in that very, very short period of time, that had 15 patients who got the vaccine died, that had 14 who got the placebo who died. And then they stopped the trial by giving the actual vaccine to the control group. They destroyed the control group. So the trial blind, as he points out, is now broken. There is no trial group going on. And there is no long-term test going on. So there is no trial, there's no control group, they're just giving it to everybody. And then, of course, if you have a heart attack, it was other things. The only time that they can't make that case is when it's a teenager who's an athlete who has a heart attack right after the vaccine. It's like, okay, well, but that's rare. That's rare. And if it's anybody who isn't a teenager, who isn't a teen athlete that gets a heart attack, well, that was your conditions. You just heard that guy arguing with Bill Maher saying, well, no, everybody's the same. Everybody's the same. It's like, what? So let's talk about this mandate surge. Let's talk about what's going to happen to you and to your family and all of this. And I just want to remind you, as we look at tough times coming ahead for many of us, especially many people in my audience, I just want to say to you that you may or may not recognize that you live by the grace of God. You may think that you're in control. I thought it was really funny. I don't know the song, but I know the title. Jesus Take the Wheel. And when I heard that, it's kind of like, there's another old song, God is my co-pilot or whatever. It's like, no, he isn't your co-pilot. He's flying the plane that he built, that he maintains. But when you say Jesus Take the Wheel, what I think of is, you have these shopping carts for moms who have young kids, toddlers or whatever, and they can be very effective up to a certain age because they've got a steering wheel that you can just turn around and around and around. It's not connected to anything. It's just a bolt holding the thing on. You freely turn it. It's not turning any wheels, right? You know that. You've seen those things. You put the toddler in there, and it keeps them busy because they're driving that thing. And I can just imagine, and this is kind of what I always think of when I hear this title, Jesus Take the Wheel. I think it's Carrie Underwood who had that, if I recall. There you go. There's one of them. But where's the wheel? I guess you put the kid inside of that thing. Yeah, it's up there. Okay. So I can imagine, you know, this kid is driving, quote unquote, driving the shopping cart throughout the grocery store. And it's been a long shopping trip, and this kid is just frustrated and, you know, just can't, is just tired, and just turns to mommy and says, mommy, you're going to have to take the wheel now. I can't do this driving anymore. And mom smiles just like Jesus. You were never driving. I got to say that, you know, we've gone from riches to rags in our life. And I would say that both Karen and I would say that's the best time of our life. And we would, if we had a time that we could live over again, that would be it. Because we were able to see that God provides. He provides just enough, just in time. So, keep that in mind. Corporate state declares all-out war on the unvaccinated. I like that headline from the Daily Bell. Bell. It's on Zero Hedge. And that's exactly what has happened. It is a corporate state. And they have declared all-out war. And they declared it 528 days ago. War begins with economic sanctions. The economic sanctions began with the executive order. It was financially incentivizing governors and hospitals to punish us, to enact draconian legislation. It was financially incentivizing pharmaceutical companies to make dangerous bioweapons that would be mandated on us. This was the plan from day one. That's why I opposed it before it happened. This is a long-term plan. There's absolutely no way that Trump didn't know what was going on. And there's absolutely no way that Alex Jones didn't know either, because Alex Jones had been talking about this type of thing happening. But then all through the year, he was deflecting criticism away from Trump, focusing people on the election, and then focusing people after the election on the Stop the Steal stuff, so we didn't get serious about going to war with these people. It's economic sanctions, and now this is the next level of economic sanctions, and there will be more if we do not stop this. So this is the corporate state. There's a quote from the Daily Bell article from Mussolini. He says, fascism should more appropriately be called corporatism because it is a merger of state and corporate power. And that's what we have here. That's basically what the Chinese have as well, even though they have a tradition of communism and they organize as communists with their communities and everything, and they call themselves communists and they have all the communist trappings and everything. They are fascist. They're corporate fascists. It's corporate fascism. And these people who are the party leaders are the people who are sitting on the board of directors or partners in every single corporation that's allowed to do business. And even though we have a veneer of a constitutional republic, America is fascist as well. Because both America and China are being run by the same corporatists, by the same bankers, by the same globalists. They keep you confused about these labels because the veneers that they put on it, just like they do with the political parties here in this country or in every other country. I mean, take a look at what's going on in the UK or in the EU or whatever. You've got all these, you know, go ahead, we got a lot of window dressing. But it's kind of, once you take the wrapping off and you look at what's inside, it's the same thing in every one of these countries, and it doesn't matter which political party gets in power. And so we're going to talk about some grassroots movements coming up here. But as they point out on the Daily Bell, So you want to fly in an airplane, you want to eat in a restaurant, you want to drink in a bar, you want to exercise in a gym, you want to watch a movie in a theater, you want to attend a concert, you want to enroll your kids in school, you want to attend university, you want to find meaningful employment, you want to have access to emergency medical care, you want to shop for food in a grocery store? Well, then get vaxxed. The choice is simple, as we've been told. Get vaxxed or you do nothing. Get vaxxed or you go nowhere. So I liked this very short email that was sent to me by Mays. Rule number one for criminals, never, never, never make your foot soldiers that know all your dirty little crimes angry. This could get very interesting, said. Because when you look at what's going on with the nurses who are there on the front lines of this so-called epidemic for the last year and a half, who weathered through all this, who didn't die, now being told that they will get the vaccine or they'll be fired. And that's a little bit of a bridge too far. I think a lot of these nurses truly do believe that there was a pandemic. They watched a lot of people die. And I have seen over and over again, we've had close friends, even friends who are Christian, who were sick, who had cancer or whatever, and they would not try anything other than the pharmaceutical products. Could not get a friend to try medical marijuana, even for the nausea. Oh, but that's prohibited by the government. I have to, Romans 13 says I have to obey the government. They are so caught up, many people who are Christians, many people who have been trained in the AMA School of Medicine, who believe that everything is solved by a pharmaceutical drug, that when they see people dying, they never question whether it's remdesivir that's killing them, whether it is the treatment that they're getting, being put on an invasive ventilator. Many people never question that. They just look at that and say, boy, this is a terrible disease. They never think about how their treatment might be making it worse. They never think about the financial incentivization for these treatments. It's almost like George Washington, who rode around his estate, got a bad cold. They called the doctors in. They started bleeding him. They gave him mercury. They did all these. He lost about a third of his blood, and he died. And I can imagine them saying, boy, that's a terrible cold. Terrible cold. I mean, we did everything medically possible for him. We pulled out most of his blood. We gave him mercury. We, did other painful things to him, and he died anyway. Well, that's a terrible disease, that cold that he caught riding around on horseback. So a lot of these nurses still believe in this stuff, but I think there may be some truth to what the listener said. When you make the people who have been there, who know your secrets, angry. We may see some of this. As I pointed out, just at Houston alone, 150 nurses, now they're saying, well, we got a problem. Houston, we have a problem. We have fired our nurses that worked for us for a year and a half. Biden is celebrating the moment that millions have been waiting for, says the Daily Mail. Oh, of course, that's a quote from Biden. This is the moment that millions have been waiting for, he said. And it paves the way for more companies to follow the likeness of CNN, Walmart, and Walt Disney to require vaccinations. Yeah, it's not just the military. I remember an employee who worked for Disney contacted me and said, well, it's pretty clear they're going to shut everything down for my employment once they approve this thing. Don't have much time. Now, don't mention my name before that because I want to ride this thing as long as I can, but handwriting is on the wall, and it has been on the wall for a while. We've known that that's going to happen. That doesn't make it any easier. And I would just say, again, if you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, you got bigger problems than this because you are going to die. What are you going to do then? For those of us who are Christians, we just got to figure out a way to get through this life. if you're a Christian, I would suggest something that would be very helpful to you, I think. And that is get George Mueller's autobiography. He kept a diary. This is a guy who created a massive organization to help orphans. And that was a big problem in Victorian England. You can see Charles Dickens wrote about it all the time. And It was a very, very big problem. The Industrial Revolution, massive poverty, kids on the street. I mean, there was an army of kids on the street. And he was a Christian pastor, and he started taking in some kids who were on the street. And they started taking in some more, but he didn't have any money. The guy was dirt poor, had nothing. And he would pray, and things would happen. He would have situations after he started, you know, getting a few more people, a few more kids, and he was responsible for feeding them. And he didn't have any money at all one day. You know, sometimes he'd get ahead and sometimes he'd get behind. And, you know, they had absolutely nothing, no food and no money to buy food. And they set everybody down at the table. He prays for food, and then he gets a knock on the door, and it's a guy. First of all, he had his milk truck break down right outside the door. He said, "Hey, you want this milk? It's going to go bad." Similar thing happened with bread, same meal. You should read his book. So this is a celebration. And I imagine that Biden is celebrating because this is a distraction as well. It's a distraction from his Afghan fiasco. And so now Biden can celebrate. He's got the Trump shots. And the FDA are saving his bacon. And that's why he has one press conference after the other. And he doesn't want to take any questions at all about Afghanistan. It's all about his wonderful vaccines that he wants to take credit for. That's Donald Trump's vaccines. Let's give Trump the credit for this. He's the one who created these bioweapons. You're just passing them out. And so, you know, Biden is in charge of passing out the bioweapons, just like he's in charge of passing out the weapons and the, you know, the stuff, the laptops and the biometric measurements and the helicopters. He's passing all that stuff out to the Taliban. Well, he's passing out these weapons that Trump has prepared for us, and it's a great distraction for him. He also avoided the issue that is provoking still unanswered questions, declining to respond to reporters who shouted questions about what's happening at the Kabul airport. Well, let me tell you, this whole thing about the vaccine is total Kabul. As well. He celebrates the FDA message with the approval to the unvaccinated. Now is the time for you to get your vaccine. The time for you to do it is now. The moment you've been waiting for, he said. It's time for you to go get your vaccination and get it today. Today. He tweeted out yesterday. He said, "Let me say this loud and clear. If you're one of the millions of Americans who have said that they will get the shot when it has full FDA approval, that has now happened. And the moment you've been waiting for is here, and the time to get vaccinated is today." And so I responded to that. And I said, if I recall, that wasn't what I said. This is not the moment I've been... I said something to the effect of, I don't know, when hell freezes over. it is, however, the moment I have been waiting for, because I did predict this even before President Trump began his helicopter funding of Operation Warp Speed. Knew it was coming. So as Zero Hedge points out, this is giving businesses the last piece of ammunition that they need to force this on their employees or get fired. So it is a war. It began with economic sanctions, and now they've Trump created and distributed the ammunition, and now Biden is saying to companies, ready, aim, fire your employees. Because they want to then pick you up and put you on universal basic income so we can all be dependent on them. Alex Berenson said, how can a vaccine be fully approved when we don't even know the optimal number of doses, as I pointed out earlier? So do we know the efficacy? No. Do we know the safety? No. But it's approved anyway. In the statement from the FDA, they said since December 11th, 2020, under the emergency use authorization, they said that's when they did that, December 11th, 2020. EUAs can be used by the FDA during public health emergencies to provide access to medical products that may be effective. And so now they said the FDA-approved vaccines undergo the agency's standard process for reviewing the quality. safety and efficacy of the medical products. Did they go through a standardized process? No, they didn't. And I pointed this out again early last year. I said, look at the FDA process for approving a therapeutic versus approving a vaccine. Time is of the essence. And both of these, you have to have a long-term safety test. But it's especially so with a vaccine. Because with the second, you have three different phases. After the animal test, you have phase one, two, three. Phase one is simply safety, very small number of people. Phase two, you get people who actually have the disease if it's a therapeutic. People who actually have the disease, a larger group of people. You give them the drug, and you have a control group, and then you evaluate it for safety and efficacy. Most drugs don't make it past phase two. If, however, that looks good, then they do a phase three, which is just a repeat of phase two, but with more people and a longer period of time. Now, for a vaccine, what they do is they don't ever expose people to the disease itself. They say, and they're right, it would be unethical. It would be a violation of the Nuremberg Code. So what they do is they give it to people in the control group as well as the others, and they just let you mill around, and then they watch you for a couple of years, and they see how many people caught it, because a vaccine does, if it works properly, it's designed to not treat a disease but to prevent a disease. So you give it to the people, you watch them for several years to see what the safety is, but then that's when only after several years do you get an efficacy number. Because you look at how many people in the control group got it versus the placebo group. That's why they shut this thing down as quickly as they did, because as Alex Berenson pointed out, after just a few weeks, they had 14 people die who got it, 15 people who didn't get it, or vice versa. But it was essentially the same. So that you shut it down, tell everybody, well, this is serious enough that we want you all vaccinated. The FDA goes on to say, this contains messenger RNA, mRNA, a kind of genetic material. The result of a person receiving this vaccine is that their immune system will ultimately react defensively to the virus that causes COVID-19. That's the theory, right? And then they go on to say that this mRNA is only present in the body for a short time. Well, not true. And it is not incorporated into, nor does it alter, an individual's genetic material. This is based on the dogma that has now been disproven, that mRNA only copies DNA, it does not alter it. But again, that has now been disproven. Very simple, elegant experiment at Thomas Jefferson University. You can look it up. It is capable of modifying the DNA. And of course, since we haven't run any tests on this, we don't know, right? So it says, and it is a series of two doses 3 weeks apart. I thought it was 30 days. They're saying 3 weeks, and they're saying two doses. Except they already know that the two doses don't work. The Pfizer jab, though, has received a full approval, and the Pentagram, has now mandated this for all the troops. So what are the consequences for this? Well, they're saying that troops who refuse a vaccine could face, quote, disciplinary measures, including being dragged in front of a military tribunal that would mete out punishment. Commanders have several options for dealing with troops who refuse mandatory vaccines, including issuing them a letter of reprimand or taking other administrative action, using non-judicial punishment to push them to get vaccinated, referring troops to an administrative separation board for failure to obey an order, or even referring service members to court-martial, which has already happened in the past when some troops refused to get vaccinated for anthrax. I'm not going to tell anybody what to do. I mean, this is a difficult situation, but I would suggest to you that perhaps after what we've learned about the anthrax, I've heard a lot of people who said they regretted taking the anthrax shot when they were in the military. I don't think I've heard anybody say they regretted being kicked out of the military because they wouldn't take the anthrax shot, after what we now know. The DOD also makes sure that service members who have reservations about getting the vaccine are, quote, properly counseled. Set you down like like the character out of Clockwork Orange. They put a strap around your head and force your eyes open and have you watch CNN for several days. proper counseling. About the risks to your personal health and about refusing the jab. Well, of course, you know, these people really do kind of understand. The Navy is the most vaccinated and the Marines are the least vaccinated, according to the Washington Post. They say right now it's being framed as a readiness issue, and there was a Navy commander who went on record saying this makes absolutely no sense to do a big experiment on everybody in the military all at the same time. And even as you heard Bill Maher talking about that, he said, oh, you know, you had that ship, and the guy said, well, we got somebody who's sick with this. They're very scared about it. They, you know, they get off of their mission and they stop. And he said one person died. I don't even know if that's true. But just take a look, as I mentioned when that clip was playing, take a look at the Diamond Princess. I've talked about that. That was the one that's a really big deal even before this lockdown began. And that was a cruise ship that was stopped off the coast of Japan for quite a while. And they had some people who gotten sick. There were 3,000 people on that ship. Only 600 of them tested positive. Only 300 of them had symptoms. And it was only about a half a dozen who died. And this is with a population that has very old demographics. Most of these people have comorbidities. That was very different from these military situations. As they're pointing out, guy says, me being a 24-year-old guy, and I work out regularly, and I'm in pretty good shape, I think if I were to weigh the risks, I think at this time it's not much of a risk. So that vaccine doesn't really apply to me. And as they point out in the Zero Hedge article, the average age of an active duty military member is 28.2 years old. They may have a little bit more obesity in the military than they used to, but you're not going to find morbidly obese people. That's especially going to be true of the Marines. That's one of the reasons why they are pushing back on this. As one captain said at Fort Bragg, he said, I don't know about the long-term. What I've heard from soldiers is they say, I don't know about the long-term effects. I just don't know enough about it. And it worries me. So I would just say that for these Marines and other people in the military, COVID is the least dangerous thing that you're going to be exposed to. You don't know what the long-term effects are going to be of this vaccine. And you don't know that you're going to get any help from the government either, do you? I mean, did they help people that they exposed to Agent Orange or to these other things? They got a pretty spotty record. It's kind of like playing Russian roulette, isn't it? Now, with Russian roulette, you got a 1-in-6 chance when you spin that barrel and you pull the trigger as it's pointed to your head. And so you don't have a 1-in-6 chance of the vaccine crippling you for life or killing you. I think I'd rather be dead than some of the things that have happened to people, not being able to control their muscles and having them spaz out on them constantly. Or a slow death from something like MS. But, you know, maybe it's not six barrels. Maybe it's 60. Maybe you could imagine, a Gatling gun type of thing or something. Or maybe you just imagine, maybe it's 600 or 6,000. Or maybe you just imagine a long, long belt feeder. And on that long belt feeder, it's all blanks except for one bullet. And they bring your military group up, and they have you stand one at a time in front of the gun, and they fire the bullet. See if it's a blank or if it's a real bullet. In addition to the extremely low mortality rate, combined with the fact that vaccinated individuals can still contract and transmit COVID, perhaps the largely young, fit members of the military aren't about to change their mind, except now they may lose their job. Well, you know, I would just say to the people in the military, you of all people, I don't know that when it comes to things like Vietnam or Afghanistan or Iraq or you name it, your leaders have had a hidden agenda. And your leaders don't give a fig about your life. Colonel Joe Bucino, military spokesperson at Fort Bragg, said, I've found from speaking to soldiers that there are some who are, in a broad sense, skeptical of government. Really? I would be more surprised to find people that are not skeptical of government at this point in time, especially the people in the military. The Washington Post notes, as if it's illegal, says Zero Hedge. This is a quote from the Washington Post. Goldsmith notes that already there's considerable messaging online, quote, encouraging active duty troops to disobey lawful orders, and users who identify as a service member questioning whether or not they'll be forced to resign or retire from the military should they continue to refuse a vaccine. Is that a crime to do that? Is it a crime to say, well, am I going to be forced to resign or retire? Is this the right thing for them to be doing? Oh, you're not supposed to do that on social media. It remains to be seen precisely how military will address, he goes on to say, the Washington Post, any continued resistance once the vaccine mandate takes effort. And takes effort. That's the way they put it. In announcing his intent, August the 9th, Austin stopped short of establishing a deadline by which all personnel must be vaccinated and said that the leaders of each branch of service would be responsible for establishing their own plans, writes the Washington Post. Zero Hedge says, well, here's the translation of what they just told you. Service members are condescendingly framed as too dumb not to fall prey to vaccine misinformation. And simply talking about being forced to resign or retire means that one is part of a, quote, continued resistance, unquote. That was a phrase from the Washington Post. Once the vaccine mandate takes place. According to Goldsmith, he said, non-compliant service members are unlikely to be court-martialed. He says, while that is theoretically possible, that would be a huge drain on resources. Think about that. You know, do they want to have, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of court-martials going on? Could they even do that? No. He says, so what I would expect is that the commanders will turn to non-judicial punishments, duty restrictions, measures that make life inconvenient until somebody relents. GOP lawmakers, going back to July the 6th, so here we are, this is nearly 2 months ago. New York Post said GOP lawmakers are split over whether COVID vaccines should be mandated for the U.S. military. This is when this policy first came out, when I said, well, you can bet that they're going to get the FDA to approve it September 15th or earlier, because that's what Biden was saying at the time. So they were saying at that point in time, July 6th, the Defense Department does not have the legal authority to require soldiers to take the vaccine, as it was only approved for emergency use authorization. That's why the Biden administration and Austin, who can't fight his way out of a paper bag, decided that they would focus instead of on, maybe that makes sense, you know, what's going on in Afghanistan. They were focused on how they could vaccinate the military, how they could, as Joel Skousen pointed out last week, force as many people out of the military as possible. So, and this is the thing that I'm concerned about, the people who are going to be left in the military for the most part are going to be people who are fine with the vaccine. You know, they got it. They didn't have any health problems with it. Those people, if they do have health problems, they'll be out. And the people who did not want to do this will be out. And so there'll be it'll be a purified, unified military to come after the rest of us. Representative Thomas Massey of Kentucky wrote on Twitter July 6th, I've been contacted by members of our voluntary military who say they will quit if the COVID vaccine is mandated, before referencing his legislation to prohibit such a requirement. The legislative effort, which has little to no chance of ever becoming law, has an impressive 24 co-sponsors from all ends of the political spectrum. But of course, the GOP is not even united on this, so it doesn't have any chance of passing. That's why I said I would never even bother running for Congress. Because the people, there's a few people who have the levers of power, like Nancy Pelosi, they're going to make sure that nothing ever happens. Even if you're in the majority, the Republicans would have done the same thing. We saw it happen with Paul Ryan. We saw it happen with measures about getting rid of Obamacare or protecting the border or whatever. Things that were hugely popular with the voters of his own party, Paul Ryan would shut down because Paul Ryan was a creature of the globalist establishment, just like Trump, just like Romney. And so a lot of people came after and said, well, you can't just quit the military. Well, you know, basically, if you just refuse to do it, That is a, you know, you're still going to be in. They can still punish you. Going to do a lot of different things, but you know, even if they lock you up or court-martial you, whatever, that's one way of quitting, isn't it? But you had the person who took the exact opposite point was, wait for it, Adam Kinzinger, the left-wing Republican from Illinois, the rhino from Illinois. He said, there are about 3,890 mandatory vaccines in the military already. Well, I would say, first of all, this is not a vaccine. A vaccine, by definition, has always been something to help your body, to train your body to your immune system to fight a pathogen. And a vaccine has always, in the past, been a pathogen that was dead or weakened so that it could not harm you. This is not that. What this does is this creates the most harmful aspect of COVID-19, which is the protein spike. It creates a lot of those. They do not stay in place. They do not stay in place at the injection site. It travels throughout your body. It creates problems in your circulatory system. It accumulates in the organs of your body. It is capable of passing across the blood-brain barrier. This is something that your body is now triggered to manufacture an unknown quantity for an unknown period of time. This is not a vaccine. So this is not at all like the 3,890 mandatory vaccines, which I had a problem with because as soon as I realized that the vaccine companies had no legal liability for their products, and when I saw the preservatives that were being added to it, just like Big Agra adds preservatives for food because that helps them with their bottom line. Preservatives help the vaccine companies with their bottom line. Gives them a longer shelf life for these vaccines. They don't have to worry about that now. They've taken care of all that with their agreements that they've coerced and extorted from governments worldwide. But once you start putting in preservatives, and once you start then going the next step to add things to irritate and to trigger the immune system, adjuvants, things like aluminum and stuff like that, they deliberately put that in order to fire up your immune system, and that's the thing that can fire your immune system up to trigger autoimmune disease or many of these other issues like Guillain-Barré. So once you talk about the adjuvants and the preservatives now, and the fact that they have no legal responsibility for anything they do, at that point, I'm proud to call myself an anti-vaxxer. I mean, this is a very dangerous, poorly made car that some sleazy used car salesman is trying to sell you. As I pointed out yesterday, I said, do you ever get the feeling that the way the government and the media is coming after you, does it ever feel like a high-pressure used car salesman in a seersucker suit with the emphasis on sucker? Get a hard sell like that and pressure like that, I run as fast as I can in the other direction, especially if somebody's going to sell me a car for which they have no legal responsibility. Yeah, if they do something criminal, we could theoretically come after them, but good luck with that. Good luck with that. You know how Washington works, right? It's a factory. Turns your body into a factory of pathogens. The military has threatened to revoke benefits for Marines who declined the COVID vaccine. Again, focusing on the Marines because they are the most reluctant. Why? Because they're in great shape and they're young and they don't really aren't worried about COVID at all. Marines will lose their pensions, their tuition assistance, and access to the GI Bill, along with many other benefits, if they refuse the vaccine, according to internal emails reviewed by the Washington Free Beacon. An August the 18th email from Colonel Teague Pastel, commanding officer at the Marine Barracks in Washington, D.C., told colleagues that although, quote, vaccines are still voluntary, unquote, the military believes that they will be mandatory in the near future. That was just a few 5 days before they rubber stamped it. He wrote that penalties should include administration separation, a demerit on the Marines personnel file, as well as the forfeiture of various retirement and financial benefits. There you go. See, these guys have got your back, right? Just like they care about rescuing Americans in Afghanistan. You've been told that you're a hero, You've been told, like the nurses, you know, first responders, you know, you're heroes. Except now you first responders and your military, you're going to be the guinea pigs we're going to use for this. Pentagon announced the vaccine mandate within hours of the approval. They can't beat the Taliban, but boy, they can sure push a toxic vaccine on their own troops. Fauci had been saying from the beginning of August, back on August 9th, he said that the he said expect a flood of mandates after the approval. We know we're going to get this approval. You're going to have a flood of mandates. He said organizations, enterprises, universities, colleges that have been reluctant to mandate at the local level will feel much more confident. Why? Because it's purely political. It's political, it's psychological. He said they can say, if you want to come to this college or this university, you got to get vaccinated. If you want to work in this plant, you got to get vaccinated. If you want to work in this enterprise, you got to get vaccinated. You want to work in the hospital, you got to get vaccinated, he said. Does he sound like a mafia boss to you? He's a thug. A mafia thug, corrupt as they come. So, yeah, this is, again, his big pharma scheme. He's been working on this since 1986. Like I said before, the antithesis of William Wilberforce. He's been working his entire life to enslave you to corporate masters and to make them disgustingly rich. And the left, who hate these filthy rich corporations dictating everything to everybody, they're just, you see them now cheering on Pfizer and Moderna. I mean, the stuff that they're putting, they're wearing things, putting up stuff on social media. I understand Stephen Colbert doing that because, you know, they're paying his salary, but still. So, jump to the demands of the world's greediest corporations. There you go. Fauci admitted he doesn't think wearing or not wearing a face mask should be a matter of personal liberty, because he doesn't believe in personal liberty at all. Several states and cities have announced new draconian vaccine measures.
They have to get the shot, the vaccination.
Yeah, and we got Massachusetts governor saying the same thing. Mandate for tens of thousands of state employees by October the 17th or face termination. The order does not allow a weekly testing option for those who decline the shots. The mandate applies to about 42,000 executive department employees and 2,000 contractors, including teleworkers. Going to force people working from home to get this. Massachusetts governor said, as I pointed out earlier in the program, bragged about the fact that the government is the largest employer in Massachusetts. That's how we got to this point. Governor of Connecticut, Lamont, unveiled new vaccine requirements on Thursday as well, directing all state employees, public and private K-12 teachers and staff and child care workers, to either be vaccinated or to submit to weekly testing. Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, when we look at Biden, we know that this is not just going to be the teachers. It's not just going to be the staff. He's ultimately coming for the kids. Here's what he had to say about getting your kids vaccinated.
I know that parents are concerned about COVID-19 cases among their children. I'll be addressing this soon with Secretary Cordona to discuss how we get our kids back to school safely. Cases among children are still rare, and severe cases among children are very, very rare. But I know that parents are thinking about their own kids. It's not as reassuring as anyone would like it to be. So let me say this as parents.
I would say
the
same thing about vaccines. Even if it's rare, it's not reassuring, is it?
You have the tools. You have the tools to keep your child safer. And two of those tools, above all, are available to you. One, make sure that everyone around your child who can be vaccinated is vaccinated. Parents.
So, you know, if you want your kids to be safe, we've known for a while the best thing that you could do is get them out of school. The violence and the threats that are in school are a bigger threat to them than COVID is. But now the government itself has become a threat. Masking your children, psychologically damaging them, physiologically damaging them with these filthy masks that they're required to wear all day. And now they want to expose them to risk, which, to paraphrase Biden, even if it is a small risk, why should we take that? It's a bigger risk for the vaccine than it is that they're going to be harmed by the virus. But it's also a bigger risk that they're going to be harmed by the institution itself. So you got something you can do for your kids. Get them out of these schools. Shut these schools down. Get your kids out first and let's shut these schools down. Days ahead of his resignation, amid sex abuse and nursing home scandals, Andrew Cuomo, writes LifeSite News, imposed a broad vaccine mandate for hundreds of thousands of healthcare workers. I guess we could say that was his parting shot. They took it, people. You know, he hadn't done enough damage to people in nursing homes, so now he can put out this toxic bioweapon, and he can mandate the Trump jab, the Trump shot. Every Northeast state, writes LifeSite News, except for New Hampshire, has now put in vaccine mandates. New Hampshire banned vaccine mandates by government entities last month. So every Northeastern state except for New Hampshire has mandated vaccines for state employees. Washington state enacted an unprecedentedly strict vaccine mandate for teachers on Wednesday, last Wednesday. Governor Jay Inslee, a Democrat, estimated 363,000 K-12 and higher education employees must prove that they have been fully vaccinated by mid-October as a condition of employment. Inslee did not allow for a testing opt-out. See, this is what's happening now. And it's already happening with state employees, and that's what's coming next. You know, they're going to make the vaccine the condition for living your life. But to ease you into this, to boil the frogs slowly, there'll be a test allowed at first, as we see in France. And then, as we see in France, the testing interval will get shorter and shorter. And then they will start charging you for the testing, and on and on and on. And, of course, they will use the swab up the nose that leaves behind the spikes when you could do it painlessly and safely by just spitting into a container and feeding that into the PCR test, which then magnifies it by a trillion times. So that's in Washington state. No opt-out with testing. His mandate appears to be the most sweeping of any of the actions taken by any other state, they said at the time. But just a day later, the Oregon governor, Kate Brown, said K-12 teachers and all staff in Oregon will similarly need to show proof of vaccination by October the 18th. They're even coming up with the same dates. Isn't it interesting? It's almost like there's some kind of a conspiracy or a plan or something that these people got together somewhere. I don't know. Where would they go? Davos, Bilderberg, whatever. They come up with a date, 2030, that they want to have you all locked down as slaves in a panopticon surveillance state. And then now, you know, they're coming up and they've got exactly the same dates that they want everybody to be vaccinated by. Or you're out. Oregon's vaccine requirements do not currently apply higher education institutions or child care centers, though Brown said that all options are on the table. Spoken like a true dictator. Well, that's the kind of thing that an all-powerful government dictator would say. I have all options, and I will do whatever I wish. The law is in my mouth. That's what it means to be a dictator. And you can do anything that you want. All options are on the table. There are no controlling legal issues here, as Al Gore once famously said. In both Nevada and Philadelphia, officials have recently mandated that all college students must get COVID vaccines in order to attend classes. Not to be outdone, California, the first state to announce COVID vaccine or testing requirements for education and state employees this year, also moved forward with another set of vaccine restrictions last week. Indoor events in the state, with more than 1,000 people, will require proof of vaccination or a negative coronavirus test for entry starting September the 20th. Now, this is a direct challenge to churches. Especially to John MacArthur's Grace Community Church, I think it is, in Los Angeles. They have been meeting throughout this so-called pandemic for more than a year 7,000 to 8,000 people every week. No social distancing, no masks, singing in violation of their orders. And they're still there. They didn't all die off. Just like the churches in Canada that were meeting, they became an embarrassment to these emperors of ours who have no clothes. The naked tyranny is exposed by people living their lives and doing it in mass and doing it just not out of even civil disobedience, saying, you know, we're called to get together and to worship God, so that's what we're going to do. But at the same time, it invited this kind of persecution because it was a threat. Everybody could see this happening and see what was not happening was what the government told us would happen if they got together. And so now they're going to renew this because now they're stepping this up again. And I said this, didn't I? I said they're going to mandate everything by the fall. They're going to accelerate this into a hard tyranny as winter comes. This will be dark winter. I'm going to take a quick break because I've been going for about an hour and a half without taking a break. So I want to tell you where you can find us, where you can support us. And again, thedavidknightshow.com. It's where you'll find the links to all the different places where we have the live broadcast. We now have Odyssey is allowing us to participate in a beta test. And hopefully we'll get the issues worked out. It is a beta test. So the broadcast will be there live. It'll be there as an archive if this starts to work properly. But we're also up a lot of other places, DLive and Trovo's where the broadcast is. We also have live audio feeds at APS Radio at aftermath.fm. It is free at aftermath.fm. You have Clyde Lewis, who has created this format. He's got a lot of his documents and programs up there, so it is an archive that is there. To get to the archives, there is a fee to support that since he's putting that up by himself, has to pay for bandwidth and things like that. So that is free during the broadcast. So you have free audio broadcasts that are being simulcast. And then we have the audio podcast. You'll find the links to that. It's basically everywhere except Spotify. And then you can also find out where you can support us there. We also tell you the places if you would like to support this broadcast and keep this going. We'll be right back.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
All right. So we're going to take a look at the reactions from the GOP, which for the most part has been silenced, except for people who are cheering it. Absolutely amazing. But I just want to mention some of the other things that are happening now in the wake of this change, the FDA's approval of this. I just have to say to people listening in other countries, because we do have a lot of international listeners, that this will put pressure on you with corporations as well as with governments in many other places. Glad to see, as I pointed out yesterday, that in Romania, Bulgaria, the people are saying, nah, not going to do this. We know what communist dictatorship looks like, and the governments there are selling those to Western nations who don't know what communist dictatorship looks like. Republican state leaders, meanwhile, took some modest action against vaccine requirements. On Monday, Doug Ducey issued an executive order prohibiting local governments from mandating COVID-19 shots for workers. This is necessary because the legislature had, in June, enacted a law that would prohibit local governments from mandating the vaccines for their employees. However, you had in Tucson, they had a mandate that they had put through in that city that would begin mandating this for their city employees August the 24th, today. And so yesterday, when the FDA does that, and when Tucson is going to mandate it today, yesterday you had the Republican governor, Doug Ducey, put out an executive order saying that this executive order is effective immediately. And violations could lead up to $500 in fines or a month in jail. Tucson has now disregarded this, the Arizona Republic reported. So Ducey and Arizona Republicans have so far done nothing to ban private employer-based mandates. That's the key. That's the key. Only Montana has banned private employer dictates for vaccines. And understand that. That's different from the vaccine passport. You've seen DeSantis say, we're not going to allow, and the Republicans in Florida say, we're not going to allow businesses to require vaccine passports, some private businesses like the cruise ships and that sort of thing. But they did nothing in Florida to stop the employers from mandating vaccines. You understand? So think about this. There's a difference between the government mandating or being prohibited from mandating passports or vaccinations and allowing or prohibiting corporations or private entities from requiring a vaccine passport to get into the public square, or requiring a vaccine in order to have a job. Understand? So when there is, so only Montana has done anything to stop employers from mandating vaccines. And most of these states, like here in Texas, where we have Greg Abbott, a wolf in sheep clothing, if ever there was one, when it comes to this whole thing. Again, he took a lot of the cash that he got from Trump, $300 million. $300 million, and he gave it to a little shell corporation where the guy's got a fake resume up in Frisco, Texas, to do contact tracing, and he did that right off the bat. And so Greg Abbott did not do anything in terms of prohibiting private companies from requiring vaccine passports to do business with him to get into the public access areas. He only prohibited the state government. So that's why you're, and of course, you know, we've had the Houston hospital that has fired all those nurses. Over the past month, five southern states, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas, and Oklahoma, have seen vaccine uptake triple. And MSN is very excited about that. They said perhaps the signals that conservatives are being moved more than originally anticipated. Maybe it has to do with this
guy.
They
have to get the shot. The
he keeps going around pushing it to everybody.
This is really going around.
Oh, yeah, I love that liberty thing. You know, I understand about your freedoms, but, you know, you got to get that shot thing, you know, because I said from the very beginning, you know, this is like the field of dreams. If you build it, they'll come. Except this is Trump's field of schemes. And I said from the very beginning, if he builds it, they will mandate it. They'll do it by hook or by crook. They'll do it primarily through corporate coercion, because that's exactly where Biden is. And I said this, you know, people, he's now mandated it for the federal employees, and he's mandated it for the military and so forth, the people that are under his authority. I think, though, that they're going to be somewhat reluctant, at least for a while, until they get a critical mass of these people and until they kick out the soldiers that don't want to get the vaccine. They'll eventually come after you, but Trump would have as well. But I said the key thing is going to be corporate coercion. That's the thing they're going to focus on. I said, and that won't be any different for Trump and the Republicans than it will be for Biden. Here's what Biden had to say in his announcement yesterday.
As I mentioned before, I've imposed vaccination requirements that will reach millions of Americans. Today, I'm calling on more companies, I should say, in the private sector.
Well, they are like countries.
To step up with vaccine requirements that'll reach millions more people. If you're a business leader, a nonprofit leader, a state or local leader who has been waiting for full FDA approval to require vaccinations, I call on you now to do that. Require it. Do what I did last month. Require your employees to get vaccinated or face strict requirements. And as I said last week, vaccination requirements have been around for decades. Students, healthcare professionals, our troops are typically required to receive vaccination to prevent everything from
and
polio,
I've always opposed those.
To smallpox, measles, mumps, rubella.
A stench to freedom.
In fact, the reason most people in America don't worry about polio, smallpox, measles, mumps, and rubella today is because of vaccines. It only makes sense to require a vaccine.
They have to get the shot. The vaccinations are so important.
They're so different from each other, aren't they? I mean, I'm so glad that we have a choice in this country between leaders, aren't you? And, you know, they always want to go back and talk about smallpox and so forth. Do you realize that there are, and I want to get some medical professionals to look this up and check me on this. Well, they started talking about variants, and they love to talk about smallpox. And so I looked up smallpox. And, you know, there are two different primary variants of smallpox. Did you know that? And did you know that, you know, there's a lot of different types of pox. There was a monkey pox. We had a case of that, you know. And of course, even though they call it monkey pox, not all of the poxes will affect all animals. But humans seem to be affected by almost all of the various forms of poxes. And so they don't actually even hit you with the primary human smallpox thing either. They give you another pox, and it protects you from all of the poxes and all the variants of the poxes. So if you're going to do that with a real vaccine, in other words, exposing you to something that is dead or weakened, again, it's another evidence, in my opinion, and again, medical professionals, people out there who work in biology, people who are doctors, in fact, check me on this, and if I'm wrong, I'll say it, but I'm telling you that my understanding is that there are multiple variants of smallpox, just like there are multiple variants of any other virus, and that all of those variants are stopped with the smallpox vaccine, unlike this, which, of course, the whole thing about a Delta variant and an Epsilon variant and a Lambda variant, that's all just fantasy reporting anyway. Connecticut, for the next part of this, this is Dictate database, or the database for dictatorship, if you will. This is now the other aspect of this that has been in view for a very long time. I pointed out a year ago when we first saw these CDC documents, they had all the fields that they wanted everybody. They sent it to the states. First, they sent it to three states and a city in August. Then in October, they sent it out to everyone and said to the state health departments, you get this down to the local health departments. The local health departments, you make sure that you get this out to all the different vaccine sites. We want to collect all this information on the people who get shot. And we need to do it because we've got to get them to come back in 30 days to get number two. And we've got to make sure we don't mix and match these vaccines and so forth and so on. But there was a field in there that said refused. And I said, that tells you everything that you need to know about this. This is a database to track us and to punish us if we don't take the vaccine. And now this is what is happening in Connecticut a year later. Connecticut will allow patients, their doctors, and local health officials to access COVID-19 vaccination records, an executive order by the Connecticut Governor Lamont. The order also permits local health officials and school nurses to access the vaccination status of people in their communities so they can be punished. That last bit is my take on it. Healthcare providers will be allowed to see their patients' vaccination history, and so they can deny treatment to people, so they can deny organ transplants and so forth. That's what this is truly about. Without this order, the executive order stated, without this order, patients will continue to be frustrated that they're blocked from accessing their own vaccination records. Yeah, that's the thing that bothers me so much. Just like Bill Gates said, you know, we got a problem. We got a lot of poor people who don't have an ID. And that's a civil liberties issue or something, or civil rights issue, not a liberties issue. But yeah, they need an ID. And so, you know, we got this program, ID 2020, and we've worked with India with the Aadhaar system and so forth. No, I don't think they were complaining that they weren't numbered like cattle, that they weren't given a government number, that they weren't given a global number to be inventoried and tracked and monitored and punished or rewarded based on what they do. That was not our idea. That was Gates' idea. And this idea that they're going to number people and to... This is not because people want to know what their vaccination record is. New York City councilman says that vaccine ID is important, but he says that voter ID is a civil rights violation. He's not the only one. Everybody in the Democrat Party is doing that. And oh, by the way, I got this from a listener, from Ron. And Ron says, on a past show, you were discussing vote by mail. I'm blind and I can't drive, so I've been voting by mail for over 45 years. Well, let me explain, Ron. It was not about that. And you know, we've always had absentee voting and vote by mail. When I say that we had a mail-in election this last time because of Trump, what I was talking about was really more, you could call it a mail-out election, where they were mailing out ballots to people. They were telling everybody to stay home. And they were mailing out ballots, and you had people who were getting ballots from jurisdictions that they didn't even live in because of this. Always in the past, absentee ballot was something that was an accommodation for people who, because of their physical limitations or because of other issues that they had, you could, and it was manageable because it wasn't so large, and you could verify who these people were. And there was a handshaking process that went on about that verification. But what we did was we just jettisoned all of that. So this vote-by-mail stuff that we had this last election was nothing at all like vote-by-mail that we've had before. And there will always be accommodations for people who are unable to physically show up, and there should be. But it's very different. And when I say that we ought to have everybody vote on one or two days, that's exactly what I mean. We can still make some exceptions for people who have to do absentee ballots. But on the other hand, in North Carolina, you could show up and vote in person over the widest window of time that any state had. And they had no voter ID. And I've told the story about a friend of my brother-in-law's who went to vote on election day, and they told him that he had already voted, and they said, this other person at your address has already voted as well. And he said, that's my mother. She's been dead for years. All you need to do, you could vote the phone book in North Carolina, and you had plenty of time to do it. And so with this last election that Trump put in place, we had them mailing out. A lot of people were getting multiple ballots from multiple places. Nothing is going to stop them from sending that in. So it was another layer of corruption. What do we do with that? We start to pull this thing back. We get rid of the electronic machines that can be manipulated both by people on the inside as well as people on the outside. Even people outside of this country can manipulate an electronic election. And so we got to get rid of that. And we got to get rid of these long windows. And we got to get rid of motor voter. We got to get rid of no voter ID. We got to get rid of this idea that you're going to just mail out, even unsolicited, ballots to people and have everybody show up on one day. Have people who are going to be observers who are going to show up and get involved in this before the fact, not after the fact. I mean, think about if all of these people who are going to all these Stop the Steal rallies and making Trump and InfoWars rich, what if they would have shown up on election day to watch what was happening? Might have been a different story, huh? But of course, there isn't an election day. And when the government ran the elections in Iraq, they knew exactly how to do it. They painted the people's thumbs purple so they couldn't vote again. And you watch these hand ballots as they're being cast, as they're being counted. And if you're not interested in doing that, you're not interested in fair elections. But, of course, the elections begin way before that. It begins with who gets on the ballot. They restrict that. Who gets in the debates? They restrict that. Now they're restricting all kinds of speech as well. I thought it was interesting to hear Biden stumble through that. He called corporations countries. Of course, I've made that mistake many times myself, too, because they do have more power than most countries do. They got a lot more money than most countries do. I mean, we're bankrupt. Google's not bankrupt. Apple's not bankrupt. Facebook's not bankrupt. The U.S. government is financially as well as morally and legally bankrupt. He also said, when he was talking about leaders, he called them levers. Did you hear that? They're not leaders. They're leverage. They're leveraged by the real hidden government. So, yeah, we got massive corporate countries, and instead of leadership, we have leverage. And they get that leverage with that Federal Reserve fiat currency. Terry McAuliffe, who wants to be governor, has made it his central idea to, quote, make life difficult for the unvaccinated. Yeah, vote for me. I'm a dictator who denies liberty, who denies the Constitution, and wants to make your life difficult. Vote for me. This is where we are now, because this appeals to the Democrat base. Isn't that amazing? This corrupt crony of the Clinton crime family. So, yeah, bow the knee to your corporate fascist state, or we will make life as difficult as possible for you. That's why I said yesterday, you know, maybe we ought to start calling it, instead of spelling fascism with an F, maybe we should spell it with a PH. I actually did that in a video title. I don't know if anybody got the joke or not. Or maybe there's another way. We could leave the F there and put a P in front of it like we do for Pfizer. That'd be a good, you know, so we could have Pfascism, just like we got Pfizer. There's a town here called Pflugerville. That's the way I always pronounce it. Silent P. Yeah, they don't want you to know what that's about, do they? Keep silent about it. We have, in terms of America held hostage, we have an influential professor now calling for hate crime legislation to combat anti-science aggression. This is a Zero Hedge article. This is Peter Hotez, as they describe him, a portly, apparently profoundly unhealthy Baylor University professor, issued a clarion call to combat, quote, mounting anti-science aggression in the U.S. He said this: we should look at expanded protection mechanisms for scientists. Poor scientists. They are currently targeted by far-right extremism in the U.S. Representative Paul Tonko, Democrat of New York, has introduced a bill, he says, known as the Scientific Integrity Act of 2021. What we are seeing over the last couple of years is anything other than scientific integrity, I can tell you that. So this is from the same vein as calling the Patriot Act the Patriot Act. There's nothing patriotic in that. And there's nothing about scientific integrity in the Scientific Integrity Act. As a matter of fact, what it does is it denies the scientific method of empiricism and data and debate and skepticism. Instead, if you do what we have traditionally called science, you'll be punished. They are trying to establish scholasticism, an argument from authority. That is the antithesis of science. So the Scientific Integrity Act of 2021 by a Democrat out of, wait for it, New York, to protect U.S. government scientists from political interference. And he said, still another possibility, said this professor from Baylor, is to extend federal hate crime protections. Zero Hedge comments and says the above suggested remedy for normal people with a healthy skepticism of lying bureaucrats and profit-hungry pharmaceutical firms is so profoundly unethical that even countering it seems to be absurd. But here's a shot. When Fauci is preening in front of Congress, he is functioning as a political operative with a political agenda. He's not functioning as a doctor. In that role, Fauci has repeatedly both explicitly and implicitly told Dr. Rand Paul, a credentialed medical doctor, that he, quote, don't know what you're talking about, unquote, in Senate hearings. So, it begs a question. Did Fauci science hate crime, Senator Rand Paul? Will Fauci be the first one brought up on charges under the Hotez rule? See, this whole thing, when anybody says hate crime, you ought to immediately turn them off. There is no such thing in a just society as a hate crime. It's difficult enough, as I said many times, it's difficult enough to judge the facts of a case. Motivations may help you to try to identify somebody. It may be a part of circumstantial evidence, but you still have to have something else that is objective. Whether or not somebody hates something is, for the most part, subjective. But more troubling is that it was very predictable from the very beginning how it was going to be used. And we've seen how it is used for quite some time, and that is to stop speech or to attack people that you hate, to falsely accuse them, to falsely impugn motives to them. If somebody murders someone, hate may be used to establish a motive, but it is not a separate crime. So we have seen this over and over again. People who could, when they could not prove the actual crime being committed, they come after somebody for hate. And since you don't, you know, you can never really prove that, they can get somebody based on that. You've got another crowd. You know, we had a group of people go to the BBC in the UK and vociferously scream and protest and push came to shove there for a little while, but they did not get in. They did, however, do it again. There is another anti-media protest, this one at ITN Productions. This is not the BBC, but this is a company that is responsible for news and bulletins and broadcasts on ITV, and that is Channel 4 and Channel 5 in the UK. So yesterday they had dozens of Britons who were unhappy with the propaganda being put out by this corporate press, and they actually broke in and occupied. Demonstrators came in. They said officers were assisting security staff in removing people who were unlawfully gained access to the building. Protesters could be seen battling with police officers in the building's foyer, but importantly, they remained behind the firm's security gates. Rachel Maddow, speaking of corporate shills and liars, has now signed a multi-year deal to expand her role to, quote-unquote, studio boss. This is her new title, quote, studio boss. It pays well to be a trader today, doesn't it? When we look at what is happening in Australia, I got this note from Denholm in Australia. Begins, g'day, mate. He says, I've been listening to you since the start. I'd like to say thank you very much for talking about Melbourne and Australia over these past couple of years. It's kept me sane for the long months in lockdown. Well, it has been insane what has happened there. And yesterday when I played a collection of things that have happened just over the last week, big pushbacks, but then even more pushbacks from the police when they had they blocked people getting into Sydney, so they only had 250 people able to get in. They stopped 38,000 cars, handed out hundreds of tickets, and then those 250 people that got in were met by 1,500 cops who got violent with the people who were protesters. In Melbourne, where you had a lot more people who made it in, it was nonviolent. And as I said, it's because the protesters outnumbered the police. But of course, as I mentioned, they are also talking about other actions that they can take, and part of that are the trucking groups. And so this was on social media. This is a trucker talking about the effort that they're going to use to try to stop things from to stop shipments as a protest, as a national lockdown from the grassroots up, and warning people that they need to stock up on food and other things like that.
Morning, Australia. As you see, I just fucking woke up. We've been talking to everyone around the world, everyone around Australia. It's on. The truckies are doing it. We need you and everyone else, your support, to to watch this video, hand it up, and let everyone in Australia know that the truckies are going to shut down the country. What that means is you need to go shopping now, get what you can for the next week or two, load your fridge, freezers. The truckies are coming and they're going to pull this country down, and we're all going to do it together and remove the shit government. The vets are in, the truckies are in, I'm in. I'm willing to go to jail to save my country and my children. If you want to do this, you've got to do it together as one. A new video has just been sent out about Fauci admitting that they got money from China to do the research fund, which I'll put up on my TikTok page for everyone to go have a look at. They knew it was a poison. So every government who bought into Pfizer, and even says on the contract that we've been sending out to everyone, they know it's poison. Do you want to poison the rest of your family? Ignore this message. If you don't want to, if you don't want to poison your family, and you're a smart person with a heart and a lot of common sense, you'll pass this on. Right.
All right. So as I also had another listener from Canada said, we live in Chinada, Canada. Election was just called. Unfortunately, none of the three parties we have to choose from are willing to eliminate the warp speed jab pass. Now I know what it's like. We only have two. And even with those two, nobody's willing to do it. And of course, it doesn't really matter how many parties are there. They're going to make sure they control access to the ballot so that you're not going to have any real choices. So what are our choices? Well, this listener is Eric and Kim. So we'd be honored to have you mention our names. So I'm honored to have you listen. Thank you, Eric and Kim. Their solution, they said, was to vote with our vehicles to block and to slow down major highways. Fact is, traffic usually travels at 70, has been backed up every day during rush hour. If we were to do this and supported nurses who are about to be fired in a week, confident the government would give in, I thought I came up with it myself, but I saw yesterday truck drivers are starting to do this in Australia. The key to all of this, though, is going to be people have to understand why this is being done. They have to know that this isn't just, if the truckers were not out there with a massive PR campaign saying, we're shutting this down to push back against your dictatorial takeover of our country. If they weren't making that very clear, people would just say, what's the matter? You know, nothing is showing up. And the government would come in and say, we'll save you. And, you have to be careful about the different things that you do. I don't know really what the answer is. Again, trying to organize things on a national level. I mean, I've done my best to try to get the information out. That's one of the reasons why I stayed on InfoWars as long as I could. I knew I would have a bigger reach of an audience there than I would anywhere else, and that certainly was the case. The audience has even gotten smaller. The bottom line is I try to do everything I can to give people as many facts as I can to try to debunk the nonsense with critical thinking, with other data that we have seen over the years. I've tried to do everything I can, and now here we are. We have the vaccine mandates and passports being pushed anyway. Again, I keep coming back to the only thing that I can get my head on is at the local level. At the local level. To do this with people, I think the political solutions have been shut down. I think the solution is going to be that we're going to have to create our own separate society. We need to start figuring out how we are going to provide for ourselves, grow our own food, cooperate with other people who are like-minded, find a church where people are going to be like-minded. That's going to be one of the key things. You're going to need to have God's help in all of this, first of all. That's the first reason you need to get closer to God. But also, God has ordained his own people to help you through this type of thing, to help each other, to have each other's backs. And one of the blessings is that he's given us a year to see what's happening in the schools. Parents now know what their schools are like. The schools have, even during this pandemic of being locked down, look at how they've doubled down on the LGBT drag queen grooming of kids into this Sodom and Gomorrah society that they're creating. Look at how they have doubled down on their Marxism with critical and racism with CRT. And so it's pretty clear at this point where the lines are drawn. And I think it's also pretty clear where the lines are drawn with a lot of these churches. A lot of these churches, you see various jurisdictions where they're firing staff and they won't even give their own staff a religious or an ethical exemption. These are churches that are doing this. And so it's a time for you to reevaluate your relationship with God, to find people who have discernment, right? We're not called to be stupid. We're called to be Christ's sheep, but we're not supposed to be dumb like sheep. We're told to be wise as serpents. And so you want to find some people who've got some discernment, and you want to start seeing how you can help them and how they can help you. You got to start building again. The building begins with you and your relationship with God, and it extends out. Think of it as concentric circles, like dropping a pebble into the... begins with you, and then it goes out to your family, to your church, your community. That's the way this is going to... it's going to have to be bottom-up. Everything that they're doing to us is top-down. And we need to fight this bottom-up, because we've got a lot more people on the bottom. And we've got, this has it's a satanic agenda, but we know that God hates injustice. He hates corruption. He hates people being enslaved. And so we want to be on that side of the issue. Finally, I'll just say before I take another quick break here, the CDC has warned baby boomers who have multiple comorbidities, and I don't know too many baby boomers who don't at this point in my life, to avoid cruise ships. What have I said from the very beginning of this? I said the businesses that try to ally themselves with the government will find out that the government, to paraphrase the prophet's warning to Israel about Egypt, you try to make an alliance with them and lean on them, you know, in Egypt, or you try to make an alliance with the government and lean on that, you will find that it's not a cane. It is a stick that will pierce your hand. And the way Lenin put it was, he said, the corporations will sell the rope that hangs them. And I've said over this last year, these corporations who are selling this pandemic and these Fauci lockdown regulations are selling the very fear and the very regulations and the very dictatorial structures that will ultimately put them out of business. And now here we are, the biggest part of the cruise ship demographics, these elderly, out of shape, multiple comorbidity baby boomers, and the CDC is now saying you probably shouldn't go on any cruises. Yeah, that's right. Again, you know, you go back and look at the Diamond Princess, worst case scenario ever, anywhere, people being locked together in this thing, everybody exposed to the virus multiple times, and you only had 20% of the people even test positive, 10% of the people who actually had symptoms, and a very, very tiny minority of that who were serious and died. Once again, government fear-mongering people into avoiding travel could profoundly impact the industry, says Zero Hedge. And Germany's largest amusement park has now segregated the vaxxed from the unvaxxed with colored wristbands. And who knew that Germany had an amusement park? I didn't know the Germans were into any amusement, did you? It's called Europa Park. I remember, you know, used to travel with my family. We went to Vienna. I especially wanted to go see the Prater because it had been featured in The Third Man, Orson Welles. And it even going there, even though it was very colorful and everything, it had this kind of overwhelming depressiveness about it that was kind of like a film noir black and white movie, as far as Germanic amusement parks go. But I want to show you this report out of, this is out of Australia, talking about what they are going to do with identification of people walking around. And if you look at this, you'll see somebody has put the yellow star that the Nazis gave to the Jews, Juden, on this, as they're talking about identifying people who are unvaxxed.
Nine News can reveal COVID-19 quarantine signs must now be placed on the front doors of homes in South Australia where returned travellers are isolating for 2 weeks. Harvey Biggs has the exclusive details for us. Now, Harvey, basically authorities hope that this will add another layer of protection.
They do, Kate, and I can show you what these signs look like. They are a clear warning to anyone that those inside are completing their 14 days of isolation, and it will help mitigate the risk to potential visitors like mail and food delivery providers. But it's also hoped to provide another layer of security because neighbours may alert authorities to anyone breaking the home isolation rules. Now, these signs started being used last week for some people travelling to SA from interstate who were granted an exemption from SA Health to complete their isolation at a private residence. And Nine News understands in the coming weeks it will be used in South Australia's home quarantine trial for returning overseas travel.
Yeah, we know what that's about. Just like a little bit of a, that was brilliantly done to show exactly what this is about. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
If you like the Eagles,
on a dark desert highway,
the Cars, and Huey Lewis in the News,
they say the hotter rock and roll is competing.
You'll love the Classic Hits channel at APS Radio. Download our app or listen now at APSradio.com.
My name's Dr. Sean Brooks, PhD, Oxford. I have 48 publications, including 23 books. I've studied health, medicine, anatomy, and physiology for approximately 21 years. Dr. Robert Malone, who created the messenger RNA vaccine, has said no one should ever take these jabs, ever, under any circumstance whatsoever. He created it, and he says don't ever do it. So let me explain what's going to happen to the people who have taken it. Excuse me. The people who have taken it are going to die in the next 6 months to 3 to 5 years for three reasons. Number one, you have dramatically decreased your own immune system by 35%. The first jab did it by at least 15. The second did it by 35 now. If you take any booster shot, you will die. That's it. You take a flu shot in the future, you will die. The second reason, antibody-dependent enhancement. Antibody-dependent enhancement is what is happening with these jabs with everybody who has taken them. Unless, of course, you've taken a placebo. But there's no way that you would know that. So given that fact, antibody-dependent enhancement tricks the entire body into believing that the cell that's eating the pathogen is eating it when it isn't. It ends up leading to what's called a cytokine storm, which causes organ failure. That will cause your death, and there's no stopping that. No amount of drugs will stop that. The third thing, blood clotting. Everyone who has taken the jabs is blood clotting. If you don't believe me, there's a way you can find out. Take what's called a D-dimer test. What that does is that detects blood clotting at the microscopic level. They're cutting full blood clots out of people right now, as I'm talking to you. Millions have died from the jabs. In your last meeting, you advocated for people to take the jabs potentially in the future, along with wearing masks. And I heard parents say the same thing. So to the parents who are actually considering jabbing their own children, you're going to sterilize them permanently. People who have taken the jabs are sterilized. 80% of women who have been jabbed have lost their children in the first trimester. You can't have kids. You've also injected yourself with the equivalent of HIV. You can now no longer breastfeed, donate blood, donate organs, donate blood plasma, nor bone marrow. If you don't believe me, try to donate blood and blood plasma and find out what happens. You will be denied. Unless, of course, you live in California, in which case they're allowing people to donate toxic blood with spike proteins in it. The jabs create spike proteins. They're in the jabs themselves, and they create it by snapping your RNA in half. You are no longer a human anymore. You are something else, and you are susceptible to countless diseases. Now, here's what's going to happen in the future very quickly.
You have 15 seconds.
Great. I don't know what percentage of your staff has taken the jabs, but your school is going to close. You will not stay open. You will close because they will fall ill and they will die. That will happen in all of your buildings. It will have. It's already happening.
All right, thank you, sir.
I bet it is. Thanks. It's already happening. Sir. Good luck, because nothing can stop what's
thank
coming.
You, sir.
Okay, that was Dr. Sean Brooks there, telling them what they did not want to hear. We do not know what this is going to do because it's not tested. But we do know, because the spike protein that is being put out there, we do know it's biodistribution because of leaked information out of Japan. We know the effects of these spike proteins. There's much that we do know, none of it good. In any other time, with any other medicine, this would have been taken off the market a long, long time ago. As I pointed out, in 1976, the swine flu jab that was being put out, not only did it cause Guillain-Barré to a lot of people, as you saw the 60 Minutes report that was done there by Mike Wallace at the time. I played that many times. And that was not the only side effect. You had 50 people who died, and because of that, they took it off the market. Now, we've had 13,068 people who have said that they've been they've had a relative who has died because of this. Do you think at least 50? Would you grant all you skeptics out there of that? Again, that's the CDC's own database. Would you grant that at least 50 of those are real, and that they should do something about it? Twitter has banned people, you know, for saying that there are heart problems with a Moderna jab, just like they banned people for questioning the bioweapon development that was going on, the gain-of-function issues and so forth. And by the way, I don't want to focus on that because that was a distraction a year and a half ago. Certainly is a distraction now to focus on the origins of this stuff. Let's talk about the vaccines, because that's what this is all targeted for. And if you talk about the vaccines, you talk about them being harmful. You got people being banned for doing that. But now we find out, all right, writes the Free Thought Project, that the Moderna jab has 2.5 times higher risk than even the Pfizer jab. Health authorities in the U.S. and Israel have connected rare instances of myocarditis. Is that okay if it's rare? Again, we shut down all the Boeing 737 MAXs because we had two crashes where 500 people died. There were a lot of Boeing 737 flights where the people didn't crash. You could have, if you'd taken this approach, you could have said, well, yeah, you had 500 people die, so what? Look at the millions of people who've flown on these Boeing 737 MAXs. I'm not going to shut this thing down. The risk is very low. Unless it's your family members who die. Instances of myocarditis, inflammation of the heart. After a hurried secret meeting with its advisors in late June, when this first showed up, the FDA reluctantly released a warning about a likely association between incidences of myocarditis and the new side effects. If we had had an agency that was doing its job, that had even a modicum of integrity, it would have been stopped at that point in time. But instead, what they did was they issued a warning and pressed on at warp speed. And now a new twist. On Thursday evening, this last Thursday, the Washington Post published a report claiming that the Moderna jab may be associated with a higher risk of myocarditis in younger adults than previously believed. Again, they'll only admit it for the younger adults because they can't deny it for the younger adults. How much more dangerous is a Moderna jab than Pfizer? Well, the preliminary data leaked to the Washington Post, establishment media. You going to believe them now? The risk of myocarditis might be as much as 2.5 times higher for the Moderna jab than it is even for the Pfizer jab. Now, this fascism that we are now in. A professor, as LifeSite News points out, a professor has pointed out what I've pointed out before as well. There is no such thing as mild myocarditis. I've said this from the very beginning. I know when I was a child that one of the things, nobody in our family, my parents are not worried about measles or mumps or any of that kind of stuff, but they said, if you get something like rheumatic fever, scarlet fever, something like that, that can damage your heart for a long period of time, for lifetime, because when you damage your heart, it doesn't repair itself. So when you look at these kids, and they say, well, it's okay, we had to put them in the hospital for a while, and while we had these heart patients in who were having a heart attack, we put a mask on their face even. You want to talk about medical care? I'll never forget that picture of that young, I think he was 18 years old, high school, college football player, very healthy, had a heart attack. They show a picture of him sitting up in bed with a mask on. I said, look at this. This is a kid who had a heart attack, and they put a mask on to cut down his oxygen supply. Unbelievable. This is malpractice in a single photograph right there. Anyway, Dr. Stephen Pellick said, why would you want to submit people who are unlikely to be negatively affected by the virus itself with vaccines that have now been proven in scientific literature to be associated with health risks? Contrary to what a number of people have said, there is no such thing as mild myocarditis. He works in the Division of Neurology in the Department of Medicine at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver. He is a tenured professor, which is perhaps explains why he feels that he can tell people the unvarnished truth. A tenured professor at the University of British Columbia. He has been on faculty in the university since 1988, before science and medicine became politicized. So he's telling you the way it is. Pellick also serves as a chair for Scientific and Medical Advisory Committee at the Canadian COVID Care Alliance. He is President and Chief Scientific Officer at Nexus Bioinformatics Corporation. Okay, so all you people like to play credentials games instead of doing your research and critical thinking and investigation yourself. There's his credentials. And he says, this is what he has to say. He said, when heart cells die from myocarditis, they are not replaced in your body, and instead they're replaced by scar tissue, which is from fibroblasts, just like a heart attack. The remaining muscle cells have to get a little bigger in order to compensate. Every time you get an inflammatory response, you lose more of that contractility, and you have a greater chance of heart attack and other problems later in life. And he says, in addition to that, the chances of dying from COVID are about 0.003% for people under the age of 24 in Canada. Nevertheless, health authorities there in British Columbia, where he is, have rolled out so-called vax vans. Traveling around the province since July, giving COVID injections to kids over the age of 12 without parental consent. Hey, kid, come here. I got some candy for you in this van. Pedophiles. So, there is no such thing as a mild myocarditis. We've had 1,517,211 injuries and 9,027 recorded vaccine deaths in the U.S. FDA nevertheless gives full approval as a vaccine impact does their numbers. And again, we're seeing this variation, 12,000, 9,000, half a million, a million people, million and a half, whatever. We're seeing this variation because these are not validated. But do you think that there's enough that we should stop it? Or are you just going to dismiss it? I think we ought to just go back and fly all the Boeing 737. How about this? How about we let people who are unvaccinated fly on Boeing 737 MAXs? I'll take that. I would rather fly on a Boeing 737 MAX than to get a vaccine. And I can make the case that a lot of people survived who flew on the Boeing 737 MAXs and were not disabled for life either. Official media sources in Brazil admit that over 32,000 people, as I pointed out yesterday, have died following the COVID-19 shots. That's official media sources. And, of course, one of the approved shots in Brazil is the Pfizer. Do you still believe, writes Vaccine Impact, do you still believe that a worldwide eugenics program in place to reduce the world's population is just a conspiracy theory? I wanted to correct something that I said yesterday when I was running through the numbers and I was talking about Australia. I said, well, you know, they had under 1,000 people who they've reported dying. And again, we know how that works. Somebody who tests positive, and we've seen this happen over and over again here in the U.S., even if they were to drown, or literally we had a situation where a guy died in a motorcycle accident here in Texas. Coroner put it down as COVID. Somebody called him out on that. He said, well, it could have been COVID. They tested positive. Could have been COVID. You know, I don't know what his reasoning was. Was it the guy sneezing or coughing and caused the motorcycle accident? But as I pointed out when I said that, I said, yeah, so you got a chance of 1 in 25 million. I made a mistake. It's 1 in 25,000 of dying in Australia, even if all those deaths were legitimate over the last year and a half. And you know, ignore the fact that it was for a year and a half. Let's just say it's in a year. And I said correctly, I said yesterday, that typically they put the risks in there as 1 per 100,000. So that would mean that you would have a chance at 4 in 100,000 chance. And so when you compare that to what typically is the death rate here in the United States, the number one risk of death here in the United States, besides aging and comorbidities like that, is poisoning. And you have 20 deaths per 100,000 population on average of people who die from poisoning. But again, we're talking about in Australia, 4 people per 100,000. So you have 5 times the risk of dying from being poisoned in the United States than you do of dying from COVID in Australia, but they locked the entire country down. As a matter of fact, it increases as you get older. It goes up to a peak of 42 people per 100,000 population dying at the age of 35. I don't know why poisoning deaths peak at the age of 35, but again, that would be 8 times. A little bit more than 8 times the rate of death in Australia, where they've locked the entire country down repeatedly. In terms of falls, average rate of 12 deaths per 100,000 population. Until, again, you can understand why the risk of death from falling goes up with age. It peaks at age 88. They said, and yet it continues. It's even higher at 88 than it is at 99 because you don't have that many people that's old. At 99, age 99, you have 576 people per 100,000 who die of falling. But on average, it's 3 times the number of people who die than died from COVID in Australia last year, and yet they've locked down all of Australia. Motor vehicles, last one I'll give you. Average rate there again of 12, same as with falls. So the question then becomes, as the Wall Street Journal asked back a month ago, July the 28th, why is the FDA attacking a safe and effective drug? Well, I think it was pretty clear. It was to protect their unsafe, ineffective vaccine, because we saw this peaking, this campaign peaking over the weekend. 2 days before they come out with a full FDA approval, you saw a massive media campaign to demonize ivermectin and to call it horse medicine, which I talked about yesterday. Nothing could be more obvious, quite frankly, what they're trying to do, and that is to just demonize the competition. There's been a lot of studies, and I've talked about this over the months, over many months, and even the Wall Street Journal is saying this is safe and effective. Why are they demonizing it? Well, they're demonizing it so they can push this vaccine, because that's where they peaked the absurd criticism. I said yesterday we had a listener, Noel, a long-term listener. He's been corresponding since I was at InfoWars. And he sent a statement about how I got ivermectin, a step-by-step guide for you and your audience. He says, of course, you know, your doctor may refuse to prescribe ivermectin because of the threat of sanctions. So here's what he has found that is very useful. He says there is a visit the Push Health telemedicine portal, and you can find it at pushhealth.com /4-patient. And you create, but just go to pushhealth.com, you'll see it. You can create an account, fill in as much information about yourself as necessary, and you can get an exam. They said a consultation fee is about $65, sometimes less, and there are no other fees. You can get essentially an examination. And then based on that, you can get a prescription for ivermectin, and you don't have to take it in the horse size. And again, this is what they're focusing on and distorting out of all proportion is the fact that some people are going out because they can't get anywhere else and because of government prohibition. They're going out and getting this as a paste, as one publication said. We affectionately call it pony paste. Maybe get it at Tractor Supply or vet stores or from Amazon. But, you know, it's also available in pills because even though mainstream media doesn't want you to know this and the government, the FDA doesn't want you to know this, has been used for over 60 years. Over a billion doses of this have been produced. This is something that was produced by a pharmaceutical company, Merck. They no longer hold a patent on it, which is why it's now affordable. But it is used worldwide. Again, over a billion doses of this have been taken. So it is very well understood. We got a lot of safety and efficacy data on it. And there's been a lot of efficacy and safety studies done with ivermectin around the world. So it's not a question, but you can get it in pill form if you go through these types of procedures. And I'll tell you again, he emphasized that it is at pushhealth.com. And he says there's also a couple of excellent video resources on ivermectin that you'll find on LBRY or Odyssey. It's the same thing. And he said you can find them under this individual, Dr. Mobeen Syed. That's DrMobeenSyed. He's got a couple of them about ivermectin. One on how it works to shut down the spike protein, and the other on dosing, whether you're doing it prophylactically or therapeutically. And as he points out, when you go to the consultation on Push Health, the telemedicine thing there, they will ask you, are you using this for therapeutic or are you using it for prophylactic? And they will give you an appropriate dosage because, as I pointed out, the difference between a poison and a medicine is simply the dosage. And I've pointed this out for a long time about fluoride in the water. You know, they're not really too concerned about poison, are they? Again, they want to tell you that it's good for your teeth. It's not good for your bones. You get fluorosis, right, of the bones. But it's good for your teeth, so you should drink it. And not only that, but because it's good for your teeth and you should drink it, we're going to put it in the water and we're going to mass medicate people with this. How are you going to get the appropriate concentration? Is it going to be uniformly distributed? If it is uniformly distributed, are we going to give the same dosage to an adult male that we give to an infant? Well, you know, we do that with vaccines, so sure, why not? By the way, you can also find this type of information at the at America's Frontline Doctors. They also have information about where you can get ivermectin and where you can get medical advice on the appropriate dosage. Very, very important about that as well. And I'll just mention, keep Noel in your prayers. He's got a job situation that, and many of us do. We ought to be praying for everybody in terms of these job situations. So many people going through a very disruptive time in their lives right now. Getting into the headline news, I've had this video clip that I wanted to play for a couple of days about a dad who's talking about critical race theory, which is nothing other than racism. Before I do that, though, I just want to quickly give a shout-out to one of the most authoritarian, despicable people I've ever known before, Tony Fauci, and that is Michael Hayden. Michael Hayden. You see all these headlines, you know, former CIA chief, former head of the NSA, a four-star general, and on. This guy, deeply embedded in the military-industrial complex, the spy people. He was someone that I have done videos on when he went to Washington and Lee College, and he defended his fellow criminal who lied to everybody under oath, saying, "We're not doing any surveillance of people." James Clapper. James Clapper, who Hayden was very upset about. He goes, "Yeah, I blame Ron Wyden for that." Ron Wyden and his staff and every one of these senators and his staff knew that we were spying on people. He shouldn't have asked him that question and put him on the spot. Made him commit perjury. That's his fault. Except it was significant. We should have known these people were violating the law, violating your privacy and your freedom. And there should have been some consequences, but you know, no Republican or Democrat ever came after him for committing obvious perjury, because within less than a month, we got the Snowden documents that prove that he was a bold-faced liar. But as I've shown that clip many times, as he's saying, "Oh, Senator, not intentionally," he looks down. I said, he must have never played a game of poker. I've never seen anybody with a, I've never seen a worse liar than James Clapper. And then you have people like Michael Hayden, who basically have been lying and deceiving and harming people for so long that he's now seared his conscience. And so I'm not at all surprised, really, to see that Michael Hayden put out stuff on social media where people said they're Taliban, our Taliban. You know, they show a picture of ISIS and a bunch of pickup trucks with their black flags, and then our Taliban is pickup trucks with a bunch of American flags and Trump on it. One GOP representative, Jim Banks of Indiana, said, "This is sad and unbecoming, even for you, Mike." Yeah, even for you. This guy who set an all-new level of criminality, even for Michael Hayden. He staunchly defended the use of drone warfare. He accused people who criticized CIA torture methods as not being of not useful, as being interrogation deniers. And again, I just point out, you know, for the people like Trump and others who love CIA torture, that was the basis for the false intelligence that was used to start the lies about weapons of mass destruction, that, you know, the entire Iraq war, which we all now know was built on a case of lies about weapons of mass destruction, was a product of torture. But of course, if we look at 9/11, we'll probably find his hand in that as well, if we could ever have the investigation there. He compared Trump supporters to Taliban, so we ought to send them to Afghanistan. We can exchange, you know, they'd like to exchange us, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're exchanging us for Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. Al-Qaeda did not take down the towers. It wasn't a plane that flew into the Pentagon. This whole thing was based on lies. You had the BBC, a part of that, Building 7 over the shoulder of the reporter, saying that it had fallen down 20 minutes before it happened. This whole thing was a fraud. Afghanistan, like Iraq, were based on frauds fed to us by the people like Michael Hayden, a four-star general, former head of the NSA, of the CIA, lying us into this so they could push this agenda of the Patriot Act, Homeland Security, the Model State Health Emergency Powers Act, Dark Winter, and what we have now experienced for the last 528 days. So, yeah, that's where we are. Four-star general, indeed. So here's five lies that they teach your kids and freshman orientation. Number one, white privilege is real. Skin color, this, by the way, is coming from IWF.org. Skin color, they say, is the most important factor about a person on campus. Freshmen coming in undergo various exercises to teach them about privilege. They contend that white male Christians have it the easiest in life. At one freshman orientation at UNC Chapel Hill, it's the university used to be down the street from where he lived. I know about how bad UNC Chapel Hill is. And of course, they've been at the center of, you know, doing gain-of-function research with Fauci as well. At UNC Chapel Hill, white males were cast as villains in skits that aimed to teach inclusion. Yeah, talk to me about inclusion. Lie number two, words are violence. This is to get people to reject the First Amendment, the principles of free speech and free inquiry. See, these are illiberal colleges. I think they should be giving people, instead of a liberal arts degree, they should give them illiberal degrees. Number three, one in five co-eds will be sexually assaulted. I say one of the most oft-repeated higher education stats is that one in five women will be sexually assaulted or raped in college. Yet today it remains a favorite among administrators who basically argue that their campuses are more unsafe for women than urban cities such as Detroit and Chicago. Which I think if that's the case, you ought to get out of there. I'd get out of Detroit and Chicago, and I'd get out of any university that seriously tells you that. Meanwhile, administrators support campus programs that promote promiscuity. Freshman orientation leaders may tout upcoming Sex Week events on campus or even host an experience during Welcome Week. At George Mason University, for example, freshmen attended a sexual chocolate workshop, during which they were advised on how to use chocolate in sex play. This hyper-sexualized theme plays out during the rest of the school year on campuses across the nation, where condoms are doled out like candy, and the abortifacient Plan B is sold in dorm room vending machines, and they have sex week events that boast BDSM tutorials. What this reminds me of, and I've talked about this many times, we have seen in pagan cultures, the twin deities and festivals of Ashtaroth, which were based on this type of sexual degeneracy. And then, you know, at an appropriate time later, they would have the offerings to Moloch after the unwanted pregnancies showed up. You could pass your baby through the fire, essentially burning them alive. They would have these massive statues that they would heat up very hot, and they would have outstretched arms. You can see pictures of these things online. And they would sacrifice their children alive on that fire. There are places in throughout northern Africa that used to be Carthage, and other places that used to be Philistine areas, where you can see just massive graveyards of babies' skulls where they did that. So you have the promiscuity followed up by, you know, hey, for your prosperity, you should sacrifice your child. And, of course, these are pagan institutions, aren't they, these colleges? Line number four, gender is a choice. Mm-hmm. And then number five, being colorblind is racist. See, racism is good. That's why I say this is about critical racism teaching. It's not critical racist theory. This is colleges and their racist teachings. That's what CRT is. But now it's trickled down to the lower levels. I want you to hear what a black man says about critical race theory in one of these school hearings.
I am the direct descendant of the North American slave trade. On my mother's side, my ancestors were enslaved in Alabama. On my father's side, we were enslaved in Texas. I am not oppressed. I'm not oppressed, and I'm not a victim.
Standing ovation.
I'm neither oppressed nor a victim. I travel all across this country of ours, and I check into hotels, and I fly commercially, and I walk into retail establishments, and I order food in restaurants. I go wherever I want, whenever I want. I am treated with kindness dignity, and respect literally from coast to coast. I have three children. They are not oppressed either. Although they are victims, I've taught my children they are victims of three things: their own ignorance, their own laziness, and their own poor decision making. That is all. My children, we are not victims of America. We are not victims of some unseen 190-year-old force that kind of floats around in the ether. Putting critical race theory into our classrooms is taking our nation in the wrong direction. Racism in America would by and large be dead today if it were not for certain people and institutions keeping it on life support. And sadly, very sadly, one of those institutions is the American education system. I can think of nothing more damaging to a society than to tell a baby born today that she has grievances against another baby born today simply because of what their ancestors may have done two centuries ago. There is simply no point in doing that to our children, and putting critical race theory into our classrooms in part does that. Putting critical race theory into our classrooms is not combating racism, it's fanning the flames of what little embers are left. I encourage you to support this resolution. Let racism die the death it deserves, and let's keep living the life of the country that we are. Thank you.
Really well said. Really well.
Their job is to teach our kids math, science, biology, literature, and that's it. Not ideology.
Unfortunately, that's what many people think. Our schools are doing precisely what they were designed to do. And I've had this discussion with people for decades. Why can't Johnny read, we used to say. They don't even pretend to care anymore. As a matter of fact, they want to shut down all measurement of that, as I reported last week. Our schools were never designed. That's what parents want from a school. Never confuse what you want from an institution or from a politician with what they want to do. See, that's the key thing. We project onto them the idea that since this is a good thing, they would buy into this. We tend to think that people are basically good. That is not a view that was shared by the founders of this country, because they were coming from a perspective of Christians who understand that people are not basically good. We're basically evil. As Madison said, because we're not angels, we need to have government. Because government is made up of people, we have to keep a careful eye on that. As Patrick Henry said, guard anyone with suspicion who comes close to the precious jewel of liberty, right? But we become very naive about this. And we tend to think that because we would never put together a system where we would deliberately try to rip people off or to try to enslave them or to try to put them under a permanent prison system, take everything that they have, or even from the standpoint, this is how, as I've mentioned before, how people like Ted Bundy are able to succeed. You know, he's an attractive, very sociable person. Women just couldn't believe that he would rape and kill them. And we keep getting raped and killed worldwide by these political leaders because we can't understand that they're Ted Bundys. Exhibit A is QAnon Trump. So you have to have a little bit of understanding about what this is all about. These people are not there to educate your kids. They're there to deliberately dumb you down. Read Charlotte Isherby's book from 40 years ago if you want to know what the educational institutions are about. It'll be a wake-up call to you. And then you can also go back and take a look at the people of the early 20th century, the 19th century, people like Horace Mann, people after him, like Thomas Dewey, who gave us a Dewey Decimal System, but he also gave us this horrific institution that is now producing what you see on the streets of Seattle and Portland. They had an agenda, and it was not to make kids critical thinkers or to give them facts or anything like that. We need to understand that. We need to stop arguing with these people. They're never going to obey the Constitution. They're not going to obey the law. They're going to do what they want. And they have values that they hold very strongly. And if we hold our values strongly, we will get our kids out of these institutions and then shut these things down because they become cesspools. John Cleese is getting ready to throw himself on the barbed wire, which is good. He's somebody who can throw out some good barbed jokes to take down, to ridicule this PC mad world, as RT points out in the headlines. He is going to expose this with ridicule, with comedy. And I can't think of anybody any better to do it than John Cleese. So I wish him luck on this. And he is jumping into the, as they point out, the minefield of cancel culture. I think we could call it, instead of Faulty Towers, I think we could call it Fauci Towers. if you want to talk about where this is all headed, the lies and the political correctness. And again, the best thing we can do with these people is just to laugh at them. That's it for the broadcast. Thank you for listening. The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.